Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. We forewent the Monday edition of our show, but now it's Tuesday, so enjoy.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I realized yesterday, and it hits me every year on Labor Day, is that Labor Day is really the last given holiday, the last holiday that most workers can take off until Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's a long stretch.
That's a long stretch, isn't it?
Columbus, no.
Nope.
Yeah, Columbus Day.
I don't get that off.
Yeah, most people don't get that off.
No.
Veterans Day, some do, but...
Well, I heard Bertrand working yesterday. So.
Hard.
Working hard.
I heard it.
Oh, man, were you working hard. I could hear the sweat through the radio, Steve.
Good, I was going for that.
Kevin did... So, oh, go on, Steve. What were you going to say?
It's kind of fun to be around sometimes when no one else is.
It doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
It does feel good. Kevin did something that I don't think anyone... Like, if I said, hey, guess what Kevin did this weekend? If we played the game, guess what Kevin did this weekend? Nobody would ever guess it in a million years. Impossible.
What is it?
I don't know. Napped?
No.
Oh, not
did
that?
Did a radio show?
I did a radio show.
Yeah, you did that.
I don't know what you're talking about, Bill.
Paddle boating in Central Park?
No, I didn't do that.
No.
Can I say what it is?
Sure.
Is it, all
sure.
Right. Kevin belly danced.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Isn't that kind of cool?
What's even cooler is apparently I'm kind of a natural.
Are you good at belly dancing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I was decent.
Would you consider making, like, moonlighting after your job
belly
here?
Belly lighting.
Belly lighting and...
Yeah, well, if this doesn't work out...
Move on to that.
Move on to that.
I'm pretty sure that this would drive some real traffic on the web.
If we were oh, good point.
See this.
Well, there's footage that exists on the web. I'm just not going to tell
you. Oh, is there?
Really? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then we have to see it. I'll find it.
You can definitely find it. I had to, like, balance a cane on my head and spin and, like, shake my hips at the same time.
Explain why, though.
Here's the thing. I don't know.
Yes,
no,
you
know why.
Well, it
why
was for my wedding shower, but I don't understand what that was exactly.
That's
I mean, it was
kind
a lot
of a
it was a spectacle.
Fertility dance. It is. It
How do you is. Know that?
Because it is. It's the fertility cane dance. You're going to have kids like in a week.
You're so cultured, Bill.
Or Michael Caine will come visit
right.
you.
Right, right. Stop the dancing.
So you're marrying
no
a Turkish beauty who was...
Yes.
His little Turkish taffy, he calls her.
Nope.
You know, Matt Bubala still wants to go to the wedding. You can swap him out with Bill Leff.
Don't do that, Kevin.
I'm not going to do that.
I already picked out a tux.
Your lovely wife, Sarah, was wife-to-be... was dressed in Turkish garb, and I'm telling you, it was really cool and culturally awesome.
Yeah, I've not really been to any other wedding showers, but this one wasn't like a typical one from what I understand.
This
no,
was a
you
couple
belly
shower.
Danced.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Well, the guys had to, like, as is culture, we had to, like, go up to a loft and not be able to see the floor until...
In a darkened
like,
room?
Well, no.
With nothing to drink.
No, there were drinks.
That's the culture. Can't
that's
help
not
it.
A fun couple shower.
No, it's a terrible shower.
But yeah, no, we eventually they called the guys down, and that's when I was a little bit later called out to belly dance.
Oh.
So
you didn't know this was coming. This was
no,
totally
I didn't
a surprise.
Know until day of that there was going to be a belly dancer. I didn't know until that moment that she called me out that I was going to be belly dancing.
Right. Was there any resistance at all on your behalf?
Faked resistance. I was actually
You wanted to do
I
it.
I was kind of excited, yeah.
Oh man.
He is so different from us.
He has such a confidence in everything, you know?
I know.
I had a lot of practice in college, so
a belly dancing?
Kind of.
And your roommate Speedo?
Kind of.
Oh, good God.
Okay, thanks for coming by.
You know, I'm amazed at watching belly dancers. I really am.
Yeah.
It is a work of art.
I think it is.
It's
I think
like
it is.
I can't believe how they move like that. It's pretty amazing. Were you that good?
I was good until the point where she had me, like, we were both on our knees, and she was, like, kind of, you know, directing me on how to do these certain moves, and then she did this move where she bent completely backwards at the knees, and that just wasn't happening. Something
wow.
would have broken if I were to
like
do that.
Like a spider?
Kind of, yeah. Like
oh,
she,
man.
From the knee, completely parallel to the ground. It was pretty wild.
That's amazing.
So if you're just
me.
Tuning in, Kevin's talking about belly dancing.
Right. Right. He wasn't assaulted over the weekend. It sounds like you were assaulted over the weekend, Kevin. This was all in the up and up.
And couple showers, I don't know if they all happen anymore. I just know that the groom is almost always present.
Yeah.
Usually
and guys love them.
It's usually the groom and just a bunch of cackling women.
Right.
So kudos to you that you had some other guys there. Did anyone else belly dance that was a guy?
Nope, I was the only one.
Just the groom
Lucky.
To be?
She brought me out and then she brought Sarah out, and I'm fairly certain I was better than Sarah.
Oh, she also belly danced.
Oh, yeah. But my moves were more difficult, and I nailed them, mostly.
Wow, he is so confident.
They just asked Kevin to be on the new edition of Belly Dancing with the Stars that premieres in a
Charo.
Few weeks. Charo's going to be on there. The late Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, my God.
My money's on Chuck.
Yep, he always wins.
It's like his bones aren't even there anymore.
Right. How does he do it? Yeah.
Boy, just the thought of that, I don't know if I can get through the rest of the day.
I know in theory, like when your fiance suggests doing a couple shower, in theory it sounds like it's going to be a great idea. I would say 98.8 or 9% of the men on the planet would rather forego that and say, "What, you know what, why don't you guys do the shower?"
Well, you don't have a choice, first of all.
We do not have a choice.
We don't suggest it. We
tell. This is what's going to happen.
And Jim acted like he was having a good time.
Acting.
Whatever. As long as the bar was open, he doesn't care. He's getting stuff. What does a guy care? They sit there. They get stuff. Yeah. They have a drink. They have a lovely meal.
Yeah.
Really, what's wrong with that?
All right. Ask him now that a few years have passed, like if you guys were doing it
remember.
Again. He doesn't remember he was there.
I don't think so. I don't remember it.
That's not, oh, really?
No, I mean,
oh,
no. You know me.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything I've done like more than a week ago.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know what it is.
Because Terry said, do we want to have a couple shower? And before the sentence was over, she realized that wasn't going to work.
Well, couple shower is fun because then other guys are there. Just a typical shower, you're the only one there, the groom.
Yeah, yeah, uh-uh. That's not good.
You were there, weren't you?
No. Did not attend.
You really have lucked out in a lot of things in your life.
Well, I think she knew that I would... I don't like being at places where I'm just sitting there.
Well,
you know, I like something that happened.
Suck it up, little wrangler.
To just sit there, I need more, you know? So she knows that. I invited you to something and I said, hey, I need you to be there. What am I going to do while I'm there? You'll just sit there. Would you go, oh, yeah, what time do you need me?
Well, if it was something that was important to you, yeah, I'd just go and just sit there and do nothing and watch you.
Yeah, that does sound
I'd watch you open gifts.
Fun. All right. Oh, we need to take a break, everybody. There's going to be an EAS test.
I hope we pass.
Everybody's excited because there's going to be an EAS test. Stick around for the EAS test and then the post-game coverage of the EAS test immediately following. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
All right, now can I ask you how the Cubs
yes,
are doing?
Yes, you can. And actually, to talk a little bit about that, you know Dave Bennett from the sports department? Dave
is
with us.
Great.
He's the best. Dave?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Dave. Dave, when the season started, Kyle Hendricks was the Cubs' number five starter.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strong staff, but you looked at the guys on the starting rotation and you say to yourself, well, Kyle Hendricks is number five without a doubt. And there were some that even doubted that that was going to work, that he might not even be strong enough to be the number five starter. Now he's pitching like a Cy Young winner for sure. Here's my question. What is he doing to pull this off? I watch him nearly every start. He's not overpowering. He's not fooling anybody. They kind of know where the pitches are. What's he doing game in and game out that makes him as dominant as he's been?
Magic.
Is it magic?
It's magic.
It's got to be magic.
That's the only explanation.
I can't. No, I watched him yesterday, and it's not overpowering in any way.
No, and a lot of people are comparing him to Greg Maddux.
Finesse.
And yeah, absolutely. But I think it's... Now, having said that, and having just brought that up, I think it's too soon to compare him to Greg Maddux,
right?
A Hall of Famer.
Right.
But if he continues this and continues to get better, which he has, I mean, this is his third year in the major leagues, and he's gotten better as he's gone along, and obviously this year has been a breakout year for him.
Sure.
Then who knows, down the road, maybe we are talking about him as legitimately another Greg Maddux. But he's not your fireball or anything but. And in this day and age where teams go for power arms and you've got guys who can throw a ball through a brick wall, he's not that guy. But he's able to locate it. He's got a fastball that maybe hits 90 once in a while, but he can locate it, very effective. He's got a great changeup. Keeps and he's got great control. And I mean, that's something, you know, his one of these stats, I don't want to get too bogged down here in numbers, but the whip, walks and hits to innings pitched. Mm-hmm. He's second behind Washington's Max Scherzer in that statistic, and he's leading the major leagues in the ERA.
2.06 or 2.07, somewhere in there.
2.07 on ERA, and it's been better. I mean, if you look at his numbers over the last month, 2 months, they've been even better. He's 10-1, Bill and Wendy, since June the 19th.
Wow.
Sensational. Just
it
sensational.
It really is. And it's not that he's been lucky where, you know, the team's gone out and put up 7-8 runs. Now, maybe sometimes they have. They've put up a lot of runs for him. But he's gone 19 starts in a row where he's held the other team to 3 runs or less.
Unheard of.
There's nobody else in baseball who's done that.
Right. And then when you watch the other dominant pitchers in baseball, I'll use Jake Arrieta as an example. Just last year, he was always ahead in the count. Every batter he faced, the first pitch or sometimes two were strikes, so you got the advantage there. Hendricks doesn't seem to be doing that. It's just, you know, throw a couple of balls or a couple of guys. Yesterday was down 2-0, still got him, not a problem.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing that I've heard people say when they analyze his pitching is he's such an even keeled guy.
Yeah.
That if he gets behind in the count, he just kind of sticks to his game plan, which, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they try to overpower the batter at that point. They try to come back and just blow it by him, and he's not necessarily trying to do that.
So we have a very good chance, the Cubs, of having 2 consecutive years with Cy Young Award winners, don't we?
Really do. I mean, he's not going to be the winningest pitcher, although he's the way he's gone, he's started to pile up those numbers. He's probably going to finish with 17, 18 wins.
That's not bad.
I'd say if he's in that category, you know, certainly based on everything else he's done, because generally you're going to have, you know, pretty high, even though wins, I think, are not necessarily the end-all and be-all for a pitcher. I mean, you want to win the game, but having the victory column isn't always the most important thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think you look at the way he's pitched. You look at the way the team has won in games he started. Yeah, I think he's got a great chance to do it, which no one would have said that.
Nobody.
If you'd gone to Vegas in April and said, hey, I want to bet Kyle Hendricks to win the Cy Young,
yeah,
I think you would have gotten pretty decent odds.
No doubt about it. It's been so much fun to watch him and the team.
Well, and also he's a very unassuming type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think his personality kind of lends itself to the kind of pitcher he is. And, you know, clearly he's enjoying this, and he should.
Yeah.
I mean, he should enjoy it. He's only 26 years old. He's probably going to get better.
Well, you say geez to 26. I watch Addison Russell out there, and is he 23?
I think actually Addison Russell's, I want to say he's 21.
Is he?
I think he's a little
in his early 20s, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys.
But that's obscene.
They just got their driver's licenses last week.
I know.
What a great name, though, Addison.
Addison Russell.
He was destined to be on the Cubs.
Sounds like a place you'd visit. He's at the corner of Addison and Russell.
Yeah, he's 22.
Is he 22? Well, we were both close.
Yeah.
Still.
But doesn't that drive you? You go, how could a guy be that good and only be 22 years old? It's insane.
And again, getting better.
I mean, you
see with all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing to bring guys with tons of talent up to the major leagues and early.
Yep.
You know, whether it's Chris Bryant or Addison Russell.
Baez.
But then, you know, and Baez struggled when the Cubs first brought him out. But he was with a losing team. You know, I think it's different when a guy comes up with this team now. They kind of know they have a great opportunity, not only a chance to stay in the majors, but to play for a team that could potentially make history.
Yep. And again, the thing that every winning team has, and now the Cubs are showing that, is it's a different hero every day. Sometimes some very unlikely heroes, but we saw that over the weekend. Every day, different guys stood up.
Yeah, Jason Hayward, who's had a struggle most of the year, has come on lately and drives in all 3 runs. And then yesterday, Chris Coughlin, who, you know, his name was called yesterday. You know, you're right. Addison Russell on the homestand won a couple of games for him. Bryant's won so many of them.
Sure.
It really is remarkable.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's so much fun.
It's fun to watch.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
A quick break and then a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We mentioned that Kevin Richter, our producer, is wedding his lovely fiancée.
How many days, Kevin?
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
Sarah.
Maybe like 15 or so?
Somewhere around 15 more days.
I don't know when I should tell him I have a bit of a conflict with that day that I just found out.
First of all, Kevin's way wrong. It's not 15 days.
Yeah, probably not. What's today's
date?
It's
the 23rd.
Yeah.
Today's the 6th.
He can tell you about his every belly dancing move, but not the date of his wedding.
And
huh?
That he was better than Sarah. He made sure got that one in.
What's the conflict, Wendy?
The school does a little Springfield trip, and Dylan is going on the Springfield trip with his 8th grade class, and I have to meet him at the school when the bus brings him back about 6 o'clock, which I think is pretty much when your wedding starts.
Yep, that's a conflict.
You can do it.
No.
Just have a neighbor pick him up. Or have him stay a night down in Springfield. It's okay.
Hey, Matt Bubala is looking for something to do. Send Bubala out there to pick up Dylan.
He's great with kids.
Yeah, he loves kids.
Oh, I almost fainted. I just laughed so hard. That was so funny.
Think about that. That would give him something to think about while the wedding's going on.
I have his number if you need it. Yeah,
all right,
we'll
send me Matt Bubala's number.
All right.
Could he pick him up and feed him dinner? That's really all I need. And then, you know, when we get there about 4 in the morning after partying at your wedding all night, we'll pick him up.
Make sure you tell him how it was.
I will.
Don't leave out anything.
I will. All right. Well, good. Problem solved. All right. There is a new trend going on in wedding dresses. And obviously, Kevin, you have not seen Sarah's wedding dress because that is a no-no.
He can see the dress. He can't see her in the dress.
No, he can't.
You can't even see the dress?
I
thought you were allowed to see the dress.
Are you made in America?
I saw Terry's dress. You're allowed to see the dress. You just can't see the woman in the dress.
Really?
Yeah.
I kept everything secret.
That's how I've been.
Yeah. I actually tried Sharon's dress on.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You want to make sure it's soft.
He didn't get a day off yesterday, may I just point out.
You got to spin to see if it, you know, lifts up a little bit, the skirt does.
Right.
All right, well, there's a new trend in wedding dresses. If you're tired of the all-white traditional wedding dresses, now they're suggesting dip it in some dye or airbrush it.
That would look great.
This is not a joke. The dip dye wedding dress trend not only gives your formal dress a colorful touch, it also solves one major problem that many brides face. Anyone who has attended a wedding probably saw how dirty the gowns sometimes get from touching the ground.
Yeah.
The bottom of the wedding dress gets really dirty, especially the train. So a very practical reason to the color, just the edges. They have a bunch of DIY tutorials, and you can order one, and look at how ugly that is. We'll post a picture on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and
it
Wendy
looks
Snyder.
Like it's a tie-dyed wedding dress.
Just at the bottom.
Yeah, at the bottom.
Bad idea.
That's great if you were marrying Jerry Garcia.
I told you Sarah was talking about dyeing it after the wedding so she could wear it out, and I hate that idea.
It's hard to pull that off, isn't it?
That's what their honeymoon night is for, Bill.
Oh, no.
I'm going home.
Isn't it hard to, I mean, you show up somewhere, it looks like you're wearing a wedding dress.
Yeah, it's still going to look like a wedding.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't disguise that. That's impossible.
There are like so many where they're just putting dark colors. Some of them aren't as bad as the other ones.
You know, one of the biggest lies is that a bride always sells her crew on the fact that they can wear the bridesmaid dresses again, but I don't think that works.
No, I tried to sell them on that, and I had a seamstress make my bridesmaid dresses, and they were black, and no one wore them again. Even
now,
a black dress.
Black seems like you could pull it off.
But it's the style.
Yeah, I know. The style's a problem, isn't it?
I don't know many people who stood up to a wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine that being successful, but that's like part of the fun of the wedding ritual is the bride explaining to all the women standing up, oh, you can wear this again.
You pay $250 and give the gift.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I've decided that brides just pick really ugly bridesmaid dresses so they look better.
Yeah.
I really thought mine were great. Just a silk taffeta black dress for everyone in my wedding party. They never wore it again. And now I look back at pictures and, I mean, they weren't ugly, but they're not going to wear them again.
So why is that a problem? Why can't everybody who's ever getting married in the future say, all right, let's just, from here on in, I'm going to pick a bridesmaid dress that you can wear again, a functional one. Why is that such a challenge?
You give me a great idea. I have, you know, a lot of entrepreneurial ideas, which I never follow through with.
Right.
But if groomsmen can rent tuxes, why can't women rent bridesmaid dresses?
Nobody has that anywhere. There's nobody renting bridesmaid dresses.
I don't think so.
That seems like such an easy market to hit, doesn't it?
I mean, you'll only need just the one oversized one for the bridesmaid who is always heavier, which has been me on a couple occasions, I'll admit.
Is it more difficult to like have a fitted dress than it is to have a fitted suit, though? Maybe that's...
No, because you can just pull... I mean, a good seamstress can,
true.
You know, pull in the waist or whatever, and then you can let it out for someone else who has to wear it.
Wouldn't that be a big problem.
Is that around anywhere?
If it isn't, someone's missing an opportunity.
Me!
You are missing an opportunity.
How do I get this thing started?
Bridesmaid rentals.
It's really a good idea.
It's a great idea.
You can rent bridal dresses.
Yeah, yeah. There was a family friend that tried to convince me once. I had a series where there were several weddings within a short span of time. So each time I was renting a tuxedo, and he said, buy one. I can't believe you don't own a tuxedo. Why would I own a tuxedo?
You?
I'm not James Bond.
Do you even have a suit? I guess you do.
Yeah, I do. I have a suit, and then I have a backup suit. Spare suit in case I go to a wedding where there's costume changes, in case Liza Minnelli ever gets married again,
in case it's dirty,
right? But why would I? I mean, most guys, you really don't need to own a tuxedo, you can rent one from time to time and be fine with it,
right? And typically, you know, how often do you wear a tuxedo if you go to a gala or do you say gala?
Well, this particular year, I had either three or four, it must have been four weddings within like a 2 month or 2.5 month span.
Wow. I would have bought one.
Nah.
You could have bought one for the less than the money.
Maybe. It just seems to me pretentious being me to own a tuxedo.
No, you could wear it to work every day. It wouldn't look funny at all with
the
Cubs hat on.
I wouldn't wear it every day. I'd wear it some days.
The cargo pockets on the side?
Now I would do it. If I knew that was a reality.
Oh, my God. Why don't they make a tux like that? The Bill Leff line. That's a great idea. You could put your...
Usually I want to say I see dollar signs spinning, but I just see that cents sign spinning with that. Not even dollars, just cents.
Hi, Helen. All right. I guess my idea is already taken, huh? Your niece rented a bridesmaid dress?
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago. I sent her a text, but she's at work, so she hasn't answered. I think back then it cost her to rent it, though, was something like $125.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but to buy it.
It's better than buying it.
Yeah,
I wore it, and I sent it back.
See, that's, and then you don't have to worry about cleaning it. Then it's not just taking up room in your closet. Any alterations, obviously, they take care of.
Yeah, true. And cleaning, of course.
Then I have another friend. Her niece just got married out in California and told all the girls, here's the color I want us to wear for the wedding. Just go buy a dress, whatever you want to wear.
Wow.
That's fine with me.
That's genius. And how did it look? Do you know how it ended up looking?
Yeah, I saw the picture. It was fabulous because some of the girls were extremely thin, some were a little bit chunky, and everybody was happy.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
They got to wear a dress that they are going to wear again.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you, Helen. That makes a lot of sense.
You just throw down a color scheme and say, do with it what you want.
Like I would say black. Do whatever you want.
Right.
Not too low and sexy because I'm the bride. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Quick break and then Tech Tuesday?
Yes. All ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. I'm always a day late and a dollar short. We were talking about places you can rent bridesmaid dresses. There's a place called vowtobechic.com. RentTheRunway.com and WEAR.com.
So you're just a little late on it.
I'm late to the party.
Just a little late.
Kevin's getting married. Bridget Carey has just had a baby.
Oh,
and
Bridget.
Now she's back into action. CNET senior editor and host of the CNET update. Welcome back, Bridget.
Thank you.
Is your baby hooked up for Wi-Fi?
You know what's weird? I did not expect my baby. She's 3 months old now.
Congratulations!
And, well, thank you. And you know, with my parents in a different state, you want to do FaceTime. You want to have them see the grandbaby.
Sure.
And, I didn't expect my baby to see faces on FaceTime and smile and respond to them.
Wow, isn't that nice?
When I went back to work, Daddy was with her and FaceTime with me. She was crying. Looked at me through FaceTime. Stopped crying. I was wowed. I hope I'm not going to ruin her with technology. I couldn't believe it.
But look at how far we've come, and in such a short time, that was impossible just a few short years ago.
I know. It makes the transition back to work a little easier, too, when you have all these cameras you can have in the house with a nanny if you have that, or you can do FaceTime. It just makes being, you know, far a little easier.
Well, so you've just had a baby 3 months ago. What is her name again?
Olivia.
Olivia.
Beautiful,
beautiful name. And one of Bill's daughters has gone to New York to go to college. And have you FaceTimed her yet? Because really, it makes things much easier now.
I have not, but my other daughter, Reese,
do you
two
know
of
how?
Them. No, I have no idea how. I don't know how. But they have on an almost daily basis.
That has changed everything. And even texting with having your kids away at college. I mean, I keep bringing this up, but when I went to college, there was one phone in the hall.
Right.
And you had to take turns. It was like orange is the new black.
Right.
And now you can just text and reach out. So really, technology has made relationships better. I know everybody says you got to put the devices down and start communicating, but it also helps tremendously. Big announcement expected from Apple tomorrow about their new iPhone 7, speaking of FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And of course, I come back just in time for a new iPhone, right? So the iPhone 7 is what's likely to be announced tomorrow. And, you know, every year there's a new number in an iPhone. You usually see a big change in how it looks, whether it's bigger or thinner. It just looks different when you see people with them. This one's probably going to look very similar, and the only big difference you're going to see is the lack of a headphone jack, which in turn could, you know, get people a little bit hesitant to upgrade because maybe they think, oh, no, I need to get an adapter for my current headphones, or I have to get Bluetooth wireless headphones. So we'll have to see if people respond to that. The leaks right now and the rumors kind of show that Apple is including an adapter perhaps in some of the boxes.
Nice of them.
Yeah, or you know that their little white earbuds, they call them ear pods. There's a lot of images online of leaks that they made a wireless one. So just the pods themselves, no cord, they're just sitting in your ear. I think I'm the kind of person that would, you know, take the first steps out of an Apple store and they'd fall out of my ear into a storm drain or something. I don't trust just having things floating in my ear, but nonetheless.
I agree. There's like a little, you know, security leash on it when you have the cord.
I'm too much of a tripper, you know, like I'm a little spazzy, so I don't think I'm the kind of person who would like that, but we'll see, you know. I think the reason right now you're not seeing a really big upgrade in the phone, at least some people are kind of making this suggestion, is that maybe next year there'll be a big design change, because next year the iPhone turns 10 years old. And of course, Apple's going to do something big for a 10-year anniversary. But also, we're at a time where how much more can you pack into a phone, you know? So Apple, you know, always is, you know, the iPhone's a hot seller, and they're going to have to keep, you know, pushing new things to make us feel like we need to be enticed to upgrade. Maybe, you know, having a better camera on the back. You hear reports that there being two camera lenses, which might give you a cool effect you can do that you can't do with your other phones, perhaps.
Now, are they removing the headphone port just because the battery life will be longer, it'll be lighter? I mean, why are they getting rid of it?
Lighter, more space. You know, for if you still want a cord, you'll be plugging it into the power jack, the lightning port. So the same place you plug into charge will just be where you plug in your headphones. And of course, Apple owns Beats, and you know what? They got some new headphones they'd like to sell you with a new cord that works with the lightning power jack instead of the normal headphone jack. So, you know, there's a few ways of, you know, being motivated for Apple to change things up, of course, to make more money.
I am so mad at Apple. I bought a MacBook Pro, which I absolutely adore. I have iPhones. I have an iPad, but I hate that I like them, and I am not going to get new ones every year. I'm just not.
Well, remember when they changed the charging port, everyone got really upset,
yes,
too, you know, and then we all kind of went, okay, I guess I'm going to get a new, you know, way to charge it. And people kind of got over it. But there was some hesitation at first. And so Apple's probably including a lot of adapters and stuff in these boxes, I would think, to curb that hesitation to upgrade.
Bridget, we only have a minute or so, but this could be potentially good news for gamers out there. Sony says they're going to put out a new PlayStation. This announcement will be made tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, right after Apple's event, Sony has an event in New York City, and we're expecting it to be a souped-up version of the PlayStation 4, something with better graphics and really something more powerful to be able to handle all this virtual reality stuff you're hearing that's going to come out later in the year. So this could be a better system for PlayStation VR when you want to get that headset later, and maybe it'll come in some package bundled together with it. But it wouldn't be something that you couldn't play your old games on, maybe. You know, it would probably be the same games would work. You know,
I have a very naive question. Why wouldn't they just call this PlayStation 5? It sounds better. Why would they call it a souped-up version of PlayStation 4?
Because it's not a big enough jump to call it a 5. And you don't want to have people who just bought the 4 get really pissed that they just have an old system
maybe.
Now.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, well, big announcements. And what's funny is Apple announces it tomorrow. They have to announce their announcement.
Right.
And then the iPhone 7 won't come out for several months, correct?
No, actually, just probably a week later it'll go on sale. Yeah, usually they only take a week or so for it to go on sale and maybe a week and a half for it to hit stores.
That's not bad. And what about the new PlayStation, the 4 Plus? When will that be out?
I'm gonna guess that's going to come out.
By Christmas?
Yeah, later on for the holidays, along with the virtual reality pack, maybe in October or something.
Get working, elves. Start making them so we can have them for Christmas.
All right. Well, have fun with Olivia, and it's very nice to have you back. She's Bridget Carey. You can see her on Daily Update, the CNET Update. You're back in action with that.
Yeah, definitely. Every day.
Cool. CNET.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bridget.
Mom.
Thanks. Bye.
She's not your mom.
No, but she is a mom now.
All right.
Olivia is the baby. I love that name.
Isn't that pretty? We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Are we switching to the Partridge Family now, too?
Oh, equal time. You have to give equal time, Kevin.
I thought you were going to, like, make the mashup, but I guess I'm wrong.
Maybe later we'll hear the Partridge Family theme.
All right. Well, when this was first pitched to us, it's like, Bill, Wendy, do you like the Brady Bunch? We said yes.
You can't say no to that question.
The Partridge Family.
Obviously, yes.
Shakespeare.
Yes.
Let's roll them all together, yes. And then we have the Barty Bunch. The Barty Bunch.
Annie Watkins is here. She plays Jan Brady. Jared Ryan is here. He plays Danny Partridge in the Barty Bunch, The War of the Families, Partridge and Brady. This is an idea that cannot miss, you guys.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast.
It's a natural.
Real fun time. Yeah, because it's got so many entrance points. A lot of us grew up with the Brady Bunch.
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
And even like my kids who are teenagers, they rewatch it. It's universal. Oh, it's all ages.
It's what I watch when I like stayed home from school to, you know, relax.
Sure.
To get healthy, I mean.
Of course,
right.
To get healthy, to recuperate, to
yes.
feel better. Are you the one doing the ads? We play the radio
yes.
commercials, and that's you doing
yeah.
the voice of Jan Brady. You absolutely have nailed the impression.
Oh, thank you so much.
You really
I'm
have.
So grateful. No one ever gives me any compliments.
Oh, that is.
There it is.
All right, and Danny Partridge, Jared Ryan is in the studio as well, along with Annie Watkins, and you will be playing Danny Partridge, which is the funniest Partridge. Don't you think?
Yes, he's crazy as well. I mean, I've never played a part that he just wants to kill everyone ever seen.
yeah.
I'm not sure if he's like that in real life. I've heard he is.
No, he is.
He has moments like that.
We know him. He is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but it's hilarious.
So how did this come to be where this mashup happened, the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, and Shakespeare?
Well, our writer of the show studied a lot of Shakespeare in school, and he was a big super fan growing up. He is our encyclopedia on these shows. I've known him for a while because we did the show in The Fringe in New York, and then we did an off-Broadway run in 2014 once we had the rights and everything. And just, you know, he gives us specific episodes to watch for our characters
yeah.
and everything. And just, you know, I sent him an email the other day. I'm like, what's the one where this one thing happens? And he's like, oh, blah, blah. Like, you know, he just knows these shows back and forth. So there's so many little Easter eggs and so many fantastic, just really nostalgic jokes that really tear you apart if you know these shows really well, because he's such a brilliant fan of them.
Now, obviously, you don't want to give a lot of stuff away, but mm-hmm. like, what can we expect? Can you give us a little glimpse into it without revealing one of those Easter eggs you speak
man.
Of?
Oh, man. I mean, high stakes. Just,
blood.
Yeah, blood. There's yeah. a little bit of blood.
There should be.
Yeah, but we live in this 70s world, which is really great. Like, you see a lot of
70s styles,
yeah,
clothing,
the pants, you know,
bell bottoms. Oh, I'm yes. sure, awesome,
nice yeah. and skin tight.
And kind of, it was the same on the Brady Bunch a little bit as it is in a lot of Shakespeare plays, where these things become life and death, and you know, so someone punching someone in the nose suddenly becomes, you know, a reason to start a brawl, and our families just start
right.
this feud,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a lot of Shakespeare themes mixed in. To stuff you really recognize, which is really fun.
We always, as viewers of the two shows, we imagine that there would have to be a rivalry between those families, these two fictional families. Mm-hmm. They must have really been. But then you grow up and you go, no, it was just actors working. But then when Wendy and I got to know Danny Bonaducci quite a bit, he said, no, there actually was some sort of a hatred between the
yeah.
two families.
Well, we stole their singing family bit.
Oh, yeah, the Bradys did.
The Partridges are by far much cooler, just much cooler.
Right.
And the Brady Bunch, those kids, yeah, they were like, why can't we sing? And then they started touring. So there was a little bit of like, they stole our thing. And
right.
Like I'm doing right now, just talking over
oh,
Jared.
Oh, please.
Just...
yeah, like the first line we say is, why are they here?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's pretty funny that they're coming together. Now, who else will be in this cast? Who, character-wise, from the Partridges and the Bradys?
I mean, no one's missing.
It's the whole family,
oh,
right?
Everybody.
You know, everybody's there.
Alice. Yeah.
yeah. Tiger.
He's
stand by.
Spoken of,
yeah, well, he's one of the biggest mysteries in TV history, is that Tiger just went away one day and the family just gave up on him. That's kind of sad.
Dog House stays.
Yeah, right.
The series.
Oh,
so
you're
he's
right.
around. He's
right.
just real sleepy.
In the backyard that we knew was shot inside of a soundstage.
Yeah.
It's so obviously an inside backyard, but your mind plays tricks on you when you watch the show.
Imagine
you
know, rolling around on the AstroTurf,
right.
and digging in the plastic.
Right, right.
Will there be two Chrises?
On the party
more.
For people who don't know.
They don't want to reveal it, and I get it.
They switched Chrises at some
it.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, they did not
Cousin Oliver.
Stick with, you know, you're really going to see a lot of stuff
oh,
that you're
God.
Really excited to see.
Yes.
Now, the other thing is, as a kid growing up watching those shows, there was one year where all the Brady guys, for some reason, all their hair got curly. They all got perms. And then we as Americans thought, well, if the Bradys did it, I guess we all need to go get perms. Right? That's how influenced we
so
were
the
by them.
So the question is, did you?
Oh, yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
If Brady did it, I have to do it, too. Yeah.
This is all taking place at the Mercury Theater right here in Chicago. You can
yes.
go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. And previews begin September 15th. Does
yeah.
that sound
yes.
about right? Opening
yes,
night, September 26th. It's going to run through November 20th. And I got to get out here to see it. The Barty Bunch, The War of the Families, Partridge and Brady. Why did the Partridge family come first?
Hmm?
Why does the Partridge family
in
come?
In the billing.
Yeah.
Because we're
oh.
great.
They're much cooler. Well, in general, generally people know their songs better and they know the Brady's television show better. So
right.
It's kind of interesting. I don't know. They're...
The
their music.
Had...
There's 15 songs. There's a lot of like songs you know, and a lot of Partridge Family songs in it, which I think are a lot better than the crappy bubblegum pop, which we even say in the show, like this.
Yep,
keep
we
on,
agree.
Keep on, keep on. You know, those songs are a little grating.
But the Partridges had legitimate top 100
oh, yeah.
Billboard hits, and the Bradys, other than Time to Change, Time to Rearrange, I don't
right.
know if they did they?
I was just saying that. That's the only one I knew.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. Yeah, that one just resonates for the rest of time
right,
for
right.
some weird reason.
Annie Watkins plays Jan Brady. Jared Rhine plays Danny Partridge. What else do we need to know? Critically acclaimed musical parody. You guys gained cult status pretty much, didn't you?
Yeah, we got a lot of fans. One person saw it every single night of
Seriously?
The run. Yeah, or like... gosh, 16 times or 14 out of the 15 times. And just these iconic characters really
And it wasn't one
back.
Of your moms. It was an honest,
no.
it was a theater
no,
goer. All right.
Surprisingly
That's
enough.
Unusual, I think.
There's well, a lot of people really, really like this stuff. There's conventions and we're trying to get the cast to come, I don't know, retweet
Wouldn't
us
that
and stuff.
Be nice?
yeah.
yeah. Everybody seems kind of on board. The only one that kind of seems almost embarrassed by the past is Eve Plum, who played your character. Yeah. Everybody else loves that.
Yeah.
Oh, and Susan Day, I guess, on the Partridge Family side, doesn't really want to have anything to do with it.
I think it's probably hard to separate herself, and she's one of those people who's become such a... She's stuck with acting and you know, wants to be taken seriously.
With Susan Day, you mean? Or with Eve Plum?
Yeah, Eve Plum is...
She was just in the Grease remake last year that they did on TV, so she's still working.
Yeah, exactly. So I think separating yourself from a Brady kid, I think, was difficult for a lot of them. Like Danny Bonaducci, I mean, you still kind of think of him as...
Yeah.
Kid, well, and then all of his reality stardom.
And we worked with Danny Bonaducci at another radio station, and to this day I have a redheaded son, and just over the weekend, how did he get the red hair? And I just always throw Danny Bonaducci under the bus.
Right.
Must be him.
Yeah. It's possible. It really is possible. What's been the biggest challenge in all this for you guys?
Really, we just did our first run, and I didn't realize actually how amazing the Shakespeare really flows in with it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's something I'm really focusing on is, this is, a dramedy, you know? This is, intense. And that's where, the funny stuff comes from. So really, diving into that world of, classical acting almost, And then making it cheesy.
Funny, yeah.
Right, sure. It's a lot going on at one time.
Well, luckily, everyone kind of flows in and out of these levels of sincerity, which really makes it work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone will have this fantastic monologue, and then Alice will run by and give us a little one-liner, and then, it really,
Are you guys from here?
I recently moved from New York, so I did the show there when we did it off-Broadway in 2014.
And Jared?
Yeah, I'm from Seattle, but I moved up here for school, and there's just so much opportunity, so I just kind of hung out for a little while, yeah.
Very, very good.
Well, you landed some good roles. Annie Watkins plays Jan Brady. Jared Ryan plays Danny Partridge. It's called The Barty Bunch, The War of the Families, Partridge and Brady. It's Partridge, it's Brady, it's Shakespeare. How many Shakespearean plays are wrapped up in this?
I'd say there's about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And a few more touched on and punned about. But yeah, there's a lot of, about 12.
Mm-hmm. And for people who don't get the title, The Bard was one of the nicknames of William Shakespeare.
The Bard.
I hope people, all right.
So I asked you that off here, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, we were just walking down Southport, and there was a family that was looking up, and they were like, "That is not how you spell the Brady Bunch."
Well, dyslexic people love the show too.
I can't even say dyslexic.
It's too hard for me to say.
All right, well, it is called the Barty Bunch. We have to give the Partridge Family theme some equal time. Hello world, there's a song that we're singing and a play that we're playing. The Barty Bunch, it previews begin September 15th, opening night September 26th. You guys run through November 20th, and good luck. Maybe it'll go beyond that.
Fingers crossed.
MercuryTheaterChicago.com is the place to get tickets.
Yes.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Marsha.
We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, hypothetically, because we just talked to the cast of The Barty Bunch, this is the Shakespearean war between the Bradys and the Partridge Family. Have you ever seen a family on TV that you thought to yourself, I would like to be in that family? You could pick whatever family in TV history. Whose family would you be in?
I wanted to be in both the Bradys for a certain time and the Partridge Family.
Yeah. They seemed like...
And the Jeffersons.
Yeah. All right.
Because I liked Wheezy.
All right. I could see
the
that.
The Happy Days family I wanted to be in for a while.
The Cunninghams?
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah, all those are solid.
Now that I think about it, it seems like I wanted to be in every television family.
Whoever you were watching.
And rather than in my own.
Yeah. For a while, I wanted to be in the Lawrence family. That's the family from Family.
That's
except that the mom never smiled. But I thought if I was her son, at some point I would make her smile. Because 6 seasons, she didn't smile once.
That would have been weird, though, because Christy McNichol would have been your sister, and didn't you have a little bit of a crush on her?
Yeah, but she liked T.J. Latimer. That was her boyfriend. So I knew she was spoken for. That was Willie Ames playing T.J. Latimer. Not that I watched every episode.
I really liked that show. And there was a show called Apple's Way that I wanted to be in that family,
with Ronnie
too.
Cox?
Yes.
That was Vincent Van Patten was one of the kids in Apple's Way.
And that's Devon Dick Van Scott. Patton's brother?
No.
Because that's what confuses me.
No, That's his son. Vincent Van Patten is his son. But Timothy Van Patten from The White Shadow is Dick Van Patten's much younger brother.
Oh, okay. That's
There's
where
like
I got
20 years or 25 years
and
between.
And who's the really white blonde one that was just gorgeous?
Vince.
What's didn't he play tennis?
He's the reason I play tennis. Because on an episode of Apple's Way, he was playing tennis with Farrah Fawcett. And I was sitting over there watching, wait, if that's all you have to do to be friends with Farrah Fawcett, I'm going to start playing tennis. And I did because of that.
Are you kidding
me? I'm not kidding you. I remember sitting there just spellbound at Vince Van Patten playing tennis with Farrah Fawcett going, how do I get to play with Farrah Fawcett tennis, in brackets? And then that's how I did it. That's why.
Scares me a little bit.
Because why?
Because, I mean, that's just, you know, this came, I was watching that roast, that Rob Lowe roast, which I'd like to talk about sometime today.
On Comedy Central, yeah.
Oh, I just have so many things to say. We'll talk about it when we have time.
Sure.
But there was, you know, the little clips during commercial breaks, and then you go back to it. They would show little vignettes of them talking backstage, and there was a little heart-shaped pillow with Rob Lowe's face on it. And my son Michael said, oh, I want to get one of those. And Jim goes, I'm sure Mom had one like that with David Cassidy's face on it. And I said, no, I was more Donny Osmond, Tony DeFranco.
Right.
And he said that there was some girl he was in love with back then who, Pam somebody?
Pam.
I just am asking you because you're a little older than Jim, but I want to know, like, who were some of the heartthrobs that were on TV? Christy McNichol.
Yeah.
Who were, like,
Linda Carter, who was Wonder Woman.
No, more of a younger
thing. All the Charlie's
thing.
Angels. Okay, she was younger, and her name was Pam?
Maybe I'm mistaken.
I don't think there was anybody. Maybe. Not the stuff you spray on a pan.
No.
Like that. No?
He said, you know, because I said, who was your Tony DeFranco? And he maybe I didn't hear him right. But I wanted to know the girls that were popular that were younger when I was loving Tony DeFranco and Donny Osmond.
So right around 1970.
Yes.
Who would that have been?
Christy McNichol.
Yeah, she was without
a
doubt.
Who else was like a young
Who was in that bracket?
Heartthrob.
Who was young?
Tatum O'Neill?
Tatum O'Neill maybe a little bit. Some of the girls from Eight is Enough were kind of pretty. You know, there were girls on Eight is Enough. I don't remember all of them, but I remember some of them. There was a girl on there named Diane Kaye that was really pretty. Do you remember her?
Sort of. I don't know. PJ, do you know a Pam?
Pam Dauber from Mork and Mindy.
Pam Dauber was very pretty. Would Jim have had a pillow for Pam Dauber, though? That's strange.
We didn't have pillows. It's what we desired. We wanted a pillow.
We wanted a Pam Dauber.
A heart-shaped pillow.
Pam Dauber is very attractive.
But I don't think that's the heartthrob he was thinking of.
No?
I don't know, but thank you. Thank you for helping.
Pamela Ferdin, do you know who she is? She was the voice of Lucy from Peanuts.
Yeah,
she
I'm sure that was it.
The Curiosity Shop on ABC. It wouldn't have been her.
No, it wouldn't have been her because he wouldn't have known who that was.
I don't think there was anyone named Pam. I think he's messing with you.
Oh, I might have it. David, I think you have it. Who was popular then named Pam?
Nancy Drew, Pamela Sue Martin.
That's possible, I guess. Is it Pamela Sue Martin?
I don't know.
Yeah, remember she was on the Hardy Boys and Drew Mysteries, and they alternated with Parker Stevenson.
It was awesome.
Sundays at 6.
As the Hardy Boys, yeah.
Yeah, Sundays at 6 that was on. That was pretty good. I guess.
Sundays at 6. But there was Pamela Ferdin, too, and she did guest spots on a ton of shows. She was the voice of Lucy in the Peanuts.
Yeah.
Why don't you two go out to lunch together and
maybe
have an
we
interesting
will.
Little conversation?
I got a chiropractor appointment. I can be down there in 45 minutes.
Come on down, David. I'll have lunch with you. Great. We'll talk Pamela Ferdin for an hour. I'm in on that. I would love that.
Thank you, David. Have a good one. Hope everything works out at the chiropractor.
She was on an episode of The Odd Couple where the guys got stuck in a room with these girls that were Girl Scouts.
Maybe I didn't hear him right because it doesn't seem like Pam.
It's possible.
It
you don't
certainly
think
wasn't
a youthful
Pam
enough?
Burden.
I wonder.
I'll text him. We have to
All
take
right,
a break.
See what happens. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more discussion about Pamela Ferdin and her work over the years. She was a great F-E-R-D-I-N. A quick break and then some news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Thank you, Kim. Great job. Did anyone besides me watch the entire Rob Lowe roast last night with their kids?
With their kids. With your kids? Oh, boy, that's interesting. I only saw a couple of moments of it, but I don't know if your kids are ready for it. Are they?
They wanted to see it, so we taped it, and I don't know what I was thinking. I know what roasts entail.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Sure.
It was really filthy dirty.
Yep. You've seen other roasts on Comedy Central,
yes,
right?
They watched the Bieber one, too.
Here's what Comedy Central usually does. I don't know if they did this last night with the Rob Lowe roast, but they show two versions of it. There's one that's shown in prime time with a lot of bleeps and stuff edited out, and then the full on one is shown, I think, at 11 o'clock, where they just don't bleep anything out. I don't know which one you saw.
Bill, it doesn't matter.
It's still dirty.
It's raunchy. It should have been one long beep for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they took the F-bombs out because that's the one we DVR'd and watched it later on in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And my husband asked that. He said, why do they even bother bleeping it when the content is so terrible?
Sure, right.
And, you know, all right, some of the people that were there, Rob Lowe was being roasted, and they had Peyton Manning, which I don't know why some of these people are here. That's why I'm asking you these questions.
Oh, I can help you with that. Who else other than Peyton Manning were you, did you not know?
There was Jewel, the singer Jewel.
Right.
Not really sure why she was there, yet she delivered one of the best roasts.
I saw a little bit of her. I saw her song.
Oh, it was even funnier before the song got underway.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. She was raunchy as hell.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio, our little prim and proper boy who was here, was a foul-mouthed lunatic.
Danielson?
Yes.
Was he? All right.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Well, they've been friends since The Outsiders. You know that, right?
Right. And a lot of Ralph Macchio's complaints was, you know, why? I'm actually a good actor. Why do you get all the parts? And everybody made jokes about Ralph Macchio living in his car. Jeffrey Ross at one point said, you should change your name to Macchiato. Ralph Macchiato, maybe you could get a job at Starbucks. I mean, he kept getting
That's funny.
Slammed. Pete Davidson from
Saturday Night Live.
Who was smoking on stage.
Oh, you shouldn't smoke on stage.
I didn't think you could smoke in...
In a building?
Yeah, anymore.
He was just being defiant.
He was, and he got a little loopy, I think.
Yeah.
He was really funny. They made some... Everybody made some hideous jokes about his dad dying in 9/11.
Did they really? Yeah. I've seen other roasts where he's been on, and that is one of the themes. And you go, wow, that should probably be off limits, but there are no off limits.
Yeah, but these were, like, terrible, and I think Rob Lowe's was the worst, actually.
Really, yeah.
Then you have some British guy, Jimmy...
Oh, I know who
K?
He is.
No.
Something like that.
He was... I had
he's
not heard
funny.
Of him before.
Yeah.
He was really funny. He was vicious.
Yeah.
And then you had, who else was there?
Jeff Ross, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
He's
he was dressed
there.
As Prince.
Of course.
He loved Purple Rain era Prince, and he had a guitar and didn't really do much with it, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, who else? There was a comic that I cannot remember her name. She's a female. She's really funny, little blonde.
I don't know.
Nikki Glaser.
Oh, yeah. She's good.
She's
awesome.
I like
her a lot.
I might be missing somebody, but David Spade, of course, did
the
emceeing. He was great.
Yeah.
And Ann Coulter.
Sure. Ann Coulter.
I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of hers.
Uh-huh.
She was... it wasn't the Rob Lowe roast. It was the Ann Coulter roast.
Yeah.
She had these horrific, terrible... things said to her, and the camera would go to her, and she looked miserable. I mean, she's like, she was trying to smile, but I mean, they were so hurtful and bad. I know that's what they do in these things.
Yeah.
You know, they made fun of Jewel's teeth. Oh my
wow.
God. Nikki Glaser had like the best line about her teeth. You have to go back and watch it. I don't want to give a lot of stuff away.
I'll see it tonight.
Because I'll ruin it in the delivery. But, I mean, for the first time in my life, I felt really sorry for Ann Coulter. Why do they have her there if they're just going to...
Well, a couple things. Number one, she has a book that just came out. So the benefit for her is to sell her book. I'm sure at some
point
she
brought it
up
and put it on the podium.
All right, so that's why, is she gets to mention her book a couple times. For them, it's a natural because they know if you invite somebody like Ann Coulter there, it's jokes that practically write themselves. All you have to do is have her sitting on the panel. Everybody referred to her, took a shot at her.
It was horrible.
I mean, horrible for her, or how, like, you felt bad for her, didn't
you? I felt so bad for her. I mean, listen, I've worked with people where not you,
mm-hmm.
but there are other people who are very mean,
right,
to get a joke out. And
sure.
And if it's for the cost of a joke, I'm cool with that. Mean to be mean is not cool. This was I can't even tell you how terrible this was.
If you were one of the other panelists, wouldn't you be licking your chops to know that Ann Coulter was there and you could say whatever you wanted, is unrestricted, just whatever you want? I know Pete Davidson had a joke where he said, wait a minute, if Ann Coulter is here, who's keeping the crows away from our crops? That's pretty funny.
David Spade, and I don't even know if I should say this, but...
Uh-oh. Kevin, cover your ears.
All right, here are some... Can I share from Rolling Stone? They put together 25...
Some of the shots that
yeah.
they took? All right.
Let me start with the Jewel thing. Nikki Glaser said, Jewel, your teeth are kind of like the Spice Girls. They're all different colors and doing their own thing.
That's not funny.
It is funny. And Jewel took it really well. She was kind of like, oh, come on.
Right.
You know, but like, you You're know this is going to happen.
That's what you sign up for when you do the roasts, is you get to make fun of anybody you want there, and they get to make fun of you.
Then Ann Coulter comes up to deliver her set or whatever you call it, and
yeah.
that was uncomfortable too, because she pulls out her Trump book that she's hawking,
right.
and everybody boos her. Then she'd say jokes, and it was like dead silence.
Was it really?
And she was in such a tough position. Now, here's my other question, and I'll read you some of these moments. These people don't write their own material, do they?
The stand-up comics do write their own material. The one, like Peyton Manning did not write his own material. Jewel did not write her own material. Ann Coulter didn't. But the ones Nikki Glaser did, Jeffrey Ross did, David Spade did.
Oh, and Rob Riggle was
Rob
there.
Rob Riggle's very funny.
He was really funny, and he was, I think, the first one up and was like, I was gasping at some of the stuff he was
yeah.
saying, and then he got roasted really badly by everybody
did
else.
Did he? Yeah.
It was pretty great. So after Ann Coulter gets up and bombs her whole set, I'm telling you, you could hear crickets, but even crickets weren't making noises. They were groaning, booing, or completely dead
oh,
silent.
Oh, really? Oh, that's painful. That's a long night.
It was really making me nervous. But so Ann Coulter bombs her set, and then Jeffrey Ross says, Ann, what happened? You wrote 11 books, but you couldn't write one bleeping joke. David Spade says, Ann seems stiff and conservative, but she gets wild in the sheets. Just ask the Klan.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen laugh this hard since Trayvon Martin got shot.
No.
I mean, these are terrible.
Oh, that's awful. Who said that?
That was David Spade.
That's terrible.
Everybody brought up the nannies that Rob Lowe was with and
yeah.
the 16-year-old girl on his video.
The sex tape from 1,000 years ago?
It was...
But he knows, like, when they come to him and they say, hey, we're going to do a night... a roast for you. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that there's no safe harbor, that whatever they want to say, they get to say. And so do the other roasters. They all know that.
Except Ann Coulter.
Even Ann Coulter knew.
This was too rough. Jewel says about Ann Coulter, Jeff Ross is going to party like it's 1999 because he was dressed as Prince.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter is going to vote like it's 1899. I know these are funny.
Very funny.
But
that's very funny.
Rob Lowe, as he's wrapping up, he says, Ann Coulter, after your set tonight, we've all witnessed the first bombing that you can't blame on a Muslim.
Oh, God.
They're terrible.
I'm trying to think of, like, I know why Ann Coulter was there. I'm trying to think of what the impetus to have Jewel there was. And the only thing I can think of, and I know this is a stretch, but in a lot of strip malls, you have a Lowe's next to a Jewel. That's the only thing I can even put together.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to ask you about, how they choose these people. I mean, doesn't the person being roasted have some say in the, what do you call the...
The selection of who's roasted, the other...
not the dossier. What is it that they're called?
The dais? All right. Usually what they do is they get a couple people, and Ralph Macchio would fit this description. They get a couple people that are close to that person.
Right.
Like when John Stamos was roasted, Bob Saget, of course, was there, or the other way around. So you get a couple people who have worked with them and know a little bit.
An obvious choice.
Yeah, some obvious choices. But I wouldn't, like, Jewel is a curious choice. I'm not sure exactly why she was chosen, but she did really well, so.
She really did. Pete Davidson, Ann Coulter is here. If you are here, Ann, who is scaring the crows away from our crops.
Right.
That was the easiest one of the night.
Right.
Rob Lowe says, and it's funny because as you're sitting there and Ann Coulter finishes up, you're like, why is she here? Rob Lowe gets up and said, everyone is asking, why is Ann Coulter here tonight? This is so terrible.
What?
Because the Right to Lifers wanted everyone to see what abortion looks like up close.
No. Oh, no. What kind of response did that get?
It's groans but laughs because she was the one that everyone wanted to hate.
Right.
And
right.
It's easy to hate her, but it's just, I felt like she just didn't belong and it was really uncomfortable.
A couple of these roasts have people who don't even get a chance to go up there and be roasters themselves. They're just sitting at close by tables. I remember Abe Vigoda at somebody's roast was just sitting there. They didn't let him come up and talk. He was just there because he was a punchline, you know? It's twisted. Now, we grew up when they did the Dean Martin celebrity roasts, and they were borderline mean. Although I heard that there were always jokes on those roasts that didn't get into the TV broadcast that were really twisted. But now with Comedy Central, because it's cable, they can say and do whatever they want. I like that you let the kids watch. You should be a teacher at KinderCare.
Yeah, I know.
Just show tapes.
I know. I have to give you one more David Spade about Rob Lowe. David Spade said Rob was in a movie called The Outsiders playing a character called Soda Pop, which made sense since he was about 98% Coke. Nothing was left unsaid.
I know.
And then Rob Lowe introduces his wife of 25 years, and his kids are there.
Oh, his kids were there, yeah.
They're older. I don't know how old they are, but teens are... I mean, it was just a really bizarre thing.
But there was stuff that you'd be embarrassed if you were being roasted, you wouldn't invite the boys there, because you go, oh, they're going to pull some skeletons out of the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like they're sitting there and everybody talked about his 16-year-old underage sex tape and the nannies and the wife sitting. I mean,
yeah,
I was embarrassed watching it at home with my kids and I wasn't being roasted.
Not yet.
No, you got to watch it, though. Just please. It's really bad, but it's so bitingly funny.
Of course. All of them, every time I see one, that what you just described, that's what you get. I mean, that's
except
it.
Except Ann Coulter. Why am I on her defense now? She's a horrible person.
Yeah, she is a horrible person.
But I just feel like no one had the right to have such terrible things said about her.
Be nice to that horrible person, you guys.
I don't know.
All right, a quick break and then more show. If you want to jump in, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. I'm Bill Leff. The Ann Coulter apologist to my left is Wendy Snyder.
Really, I am not an apologist to her. I guess I
didn't think I'd ever see you defend her.
I don't like her. Just looking at her makes me very uneasy.
You should have said if you were asked to be a roaster.
No, because that's not funny.
You need to juice it up a little bit, throw a swear word or two in there.
But that's why I'm asking you. You've been a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
You get this stuff. I don't know why in the world she would be on the show. You said to sell a book. That's not her target audience. She put that Trump book up, and everybody booed her.
You know what's funny is if you see her in almost any television appearance, I usually see her on with Bill Maher on HBO, and Bill Maher and the other guests often just come at her from every side. And then she'll be on like a CNBC or something like that, and they all attack her. But
she can defend herself pretty much.
It just seems to bounce off of her. Could you tell by looking at her that it was damaging to her? Was she beaten?
Yeah. She was just sitting there kind of with, you know, just like kind of a sneer, like, wanting to explode.
It was like that.
It was really uncomfortable, and I can't remember who tweeted last night. It was some celebrity. The best part of the whole roast was watching Ann Coulter's face.
Because
it's just, I don't like mean, I guess. It was horribly
even
funny.
Even as somebody that you kind of despise to some extent, it was that hard for you to watch somebody like that get beaten down?
I guess I just don't understand why she would put herself in that position. The fact that she did, she knew what was going to happen.
Without a doubt. I've even heard, actually, Jeffrey Ross said to us when he was on, because he does almost all of these. I'm trying to remember the last time they had one of these that he didn't do it. He said the producers sit down with you and they say, when they're booking you as a guest, it gets pretty intense in there. They say what, and so she knew. They didn't shock her or surprise her. She knew what she was getting into.
But how does this benefit her? She wants to sell her book. She's not selling it to the right people. That audience, it was.
But not in the room, but there will be so many people that, you know, they'll rerun this roast 30 or 40 times over the next month on Comedy Central. So every time somebody sees it, it's a potential book sale. So even if it's a low margin for her, it's still enough coverage to where she'll definitely sell some books. Even if it's just people who thought, wow, I feel bad for her, they were mean to her, I'm gonna buy that book and find out what she's made out of, she's still going to come out on top. Even though she was slaughtered, she'll still win in this.
And 312's right. It's not her target audience, but look at how much publicity it's getting her. You can't stop talking about her. I can just envision that face, and she was not. It was pretty bad.
Right. Now, do you remember which guest of ours over the last year had a romantic fling with her, and he did not want to discuss it?
Yeah, I was explaining this to somebody. Is it true?
Yeah, it's true.
Jimmy J.J. Walker?
Jimmy Walker.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still seeing each other?
I don't think so. I think that kind of came and went already. But when we brought it up with Jimmy Walker off air, because I knew that it might be difficult on air, he didn't want to talk about it.
He didn't want to talk about anything except the commute. Right. It took him, I could have just done this on the phone, but you guys made me come in, and boy, was I regretful of that.
Yeah.
That's all he talked about.
He was
about.
A little upset that day.
And good news, Bill, 217 says there's a Waffle House one exit north of Springfield.
Is that true?
Yes.
So, I didn't know that. I'm going to Springfield.
Pack your bags. Let's go. Road trip.
I'm heading to Springfield. All right. We need to take a quick break. Kim has the news. And then there's the Wintrust Business Lunch with our friend Steve Bertrand. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, thank you so much, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our Tuesday show.
You almost said duh.
I was right between the French and the English pronunciation.
It was cute.
I gave something for everybody. Half of our audience, I just found out, I read the ratings, half of our audience French speaking.
Parlez-vous français?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. do you remember a woman named Dani Mathers that we talked about on the show a little over a month ago? Dani Mathers is a Playboy playmate. Do you remember her?
What'd she do?
She was at her health club, and she took a picture of a woman in the locker room of the health club, and she posted it on Twitter or some Twitter-like...
social media?
Yeah, it was social media. And she said, I can't unsee this, so now you can't either.
I remember her.
And as it turns out, you're not supposed to be taking pictures of people when they're naked in your locker room.
Didn't we kind of say that?
Yes.
I know that the internet doesn't really have any control or policing over it exactly yet.
Right.
You can get away with some things.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I don't think you're supposed to do that. Well, the courts agreed with us.
Yay.
Here's what just went on. It said, things have gotten worse for Playboy model Dani Mathers. Are they no longer called Playmates?
What did they say?
It just says Playboy model, although, you know, they've done away with naked people in Playboy. You know that, right? There's no more naked people in Playboy.
Thanks. What are you, the town crier?
It just seems like an odd career move for a magazine that kind of made its bread and butter on showing you pictures of naked ladies to go... It'd be like if Popular Mechanics just went, you know what? No more machinery. We're not going to have that anymore. Or if Goofus and Gallant left Highlights.
Oh, see,
that's
that
the
can.
Reason you tune in, right? The 29-year-old sparked internet outrage in July when she Snapchatted. I said Twitter, but it's Snapchat. I don't know the difference. When she Snapchatted a photo of an unsuspecting naked woman in her gym locker room. Mathers also included a selfie in that Snapchat in which she covered her mouth as if to stifle either a shock or a giggle. The caption at the time read, if I can't unsee this, you can't either. At the time, legal action seemed unlikely. Cops couldn't file charges because the woman in the photo was unidentified. But People confirms, that's People magazine, not the general population, People confirms that the alleged victim has now come forward and spoken with the Los Angeles Police Department. TMZ reports that the woman, who's in her 70s, by the way, yikes, is willing to testify against Danny Mathers, the Playboy model.
Which, good for, she's in her 70s, and can you imagine the horror? You hear this in the news, and you're like, oh, that's not a very nice girl. Wait a minute.
Right.
That one, hey, right. That's me.
That's me without my clothes on the Snapchat.
Can you imagine that?
No, I cannot. Now, in the last couple of years, I've belonged to two different health clubs. And at one of the health clubs, there are signs posted everywhere saying that all cell phone usage is prohibited within the confines of the locker room. It says that everywhere. And with those signs, it doesn't prevent a single person from using them. And if you have your cell phone out, although you could certainly be talking on it or looking up a text, you could also very easily be videotaping other people.
Have you mastered it yet? Well, you don't know how to use the camera part. Because you can make
it
so...
By the time I set up a tripod, everyone's on to me.
It is the locker room.
Yes.
Because I can videotape Kevin right now while it looks like I'm talking to you.
Right. And he wouldn't know it.
No, because he would just... I won't.
Okay.
I won't because you're not doing anything.
But you could easily, somebody could go into a locker room. Well, she did. Danny Mathers did. You could go into a locker room, hold out your cell phone, pretend you're talking on it, pretend you're texting, and just be videotaping whatever you want. And by the way, this old health club never policed it once. I don't know if anyone ever complained, but I said on more than one occasion, somebody would have a cell phone. I go, can you put that away for a couple seconds?
You said that to somebody?
Yeah.
How come you don't get punched?
Because I'm overpowering.
If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, I will when I can, thanks, or, you know.
But the signs back me up. I'm in the right there. The signs say that they're prohibited. It's not just my opinion. It's the establishment.
What if you're getting an emergency phone call from your kid's daycare?
Take it outside.
What if you have no clothes on?
Well, I stand by this. I'm on the side of good injustice in this.
I'd rather see someone talking on it than someone taking pictures on it.
But you could easily pretend you're talking on it. It's easy to pretend.
I know. I just explained that. I'm videotaping you right now.
I'm just happy to think that someone might be interested.
No, that's not true.
Steve actually says, could I get a better angle? Lighting's better on this side if you want to come over this way.
You got to beware these days. Phones are everywhere, whether there's a sign or not.
Right. The Los Angeles City Attorney's Office confirms to People magazine that they are reviewing the case, but they declined to confirm that any information has been given about the alleged victim. Mathers' attorney, Tom Mesro, says that he's aware of the reports. You have to be more than aware. I mean, she posted it and she's in the video. It's not even, I don't even think you can say alleged in this case.
No,
she
is.
So obviously her.
Yeah, she did it on July 14th.
Yeah.
We have the dates.
So he says that he's aware of the reports of the alleged victim coming forward. So the alleged part is whether or not this woman is the one. I guess what they're saying here is without somebody filing a complaint, the city itself won't file a complaint. It would have to be the woman filing a complaint.
And again, if this, she's a 70-year-old woman, I don't know if she's on Twitter. She may be. I know 70-year-old people can be on Twitter. But I mean, again, the horror of... Oh, I've heard this in the news, that terrible girl,
right.
Look what she did. And then you look in this picture.
Right.
And it's in the shower. It's not.
That's something.
This is
terrible. I saw your grandma on Twitter. I bet some kid said that to her grandchild. My grandmother's baking pies. I saw what your grandmother's up to.
She's up to a good thing. She's trying to take care of her health.
Right. I know. We hope the rumor's not true, Mesro. That's Tom Mesro, Mathers' attorney, tells People magazine. Danny Mathers never tried to hurt anyone.
Oh, yes, she did. She intentionally tried to poke fun at this. Not this particular woman, but...
Yeah, his argument doesn't hold a whole lot of water. Oh, come on, my client's the victim here. She wasn't trying to hurt anybody. And certainly never tried to break any law. But that is you are breaking the law. You can't just videotape naked people in the shower. You are breaking the law by doing that.
And wasn't this in California?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you record a conversation, I believe you have to get permission, Like, may I record you before you start recording? So I bet it's the same way with videotape.
You know what's really funny is a couple years ago, and I don't remember the case that set the precedent, but it wasn't illegal to get video footage of somebody, but it was illegal to get sound
audio
of them. Yeah. So I don't know why that was the case, but they had a couple of intrusion cases where people would plant cameras. Do you remember somebody, this was at Wrigley Field about 4 or 5 years ago, somebody set up a camera either at Wrigley or across the street from Wrigley to videotape women in an apartment, and they said there was no sound, so there's nothing we can do. If there was sound, we'd have a problem.
I don't think that's true.
It was true. It really was. So now they've changed it since then. But the laws were so prehistoric, you know, nobody was expecting when these laws were driven up, when they're written up, nobody was expecting everybody to have this kind of technology where you could hide a phone or a camera somewhere.
Yeah, but there have been people who videotape people that get in trouble even though there's no sound.
Now there is, but a couple years ago before the law was changed, it was easy.
Who's the ESPN person who was videotaped?
Oh,
you know who I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'm blanking on her name.
Erin Andrews?
Yeah, Erin Andrews.
All right, well,
right.
What, because there was sound she was able to get after him?
I don't remember all the specifics, and I don't know if her case preceded that or was after that.
Just a couple years ago?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago at all.
God, delete all the footage, everyone, that you have of me.
Immediately after Mathers posted the offending photo, she faced intense backlash on social media. Many people expressed outrage that a young Playboy model would publicly shame an older woman, who was a stranger, by the way, for having an imperfect body. Think about the mechanics of that. This is a woman. She's 29 years old. She's in the prime of her life physically, not mentally, but physically. So she's in great shape. So she finds a 70-year-old woman, and all of a sudden she's on social media ripping her. But then, as her lawyer pointed out, she wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
And at 29, what do you, you know, why do you have to make yourself feel better?
Right. Right. And don't compare yourself to a 70-year-old woman.
No, get another 29-year-old woman.
Another Playboy
hot.
Model.
Yes, exactly, Bill.
LA Fitness, which is the one that I was telling you about that used to have all the postings saying you can't videotape in the locker rooms.
Unless you're
still
hot.
Do. Unless you're hot, it says. And those letters, the font is written like in a flamey font. Only hot
like you
people.
See on race cars?
Yeah.
Like on Chili Cheetos?
Yes. That's the same font, Steve. LA Fitness, the gym where the photo was taken, revoked Mather's membership. Well, she's going to fall apart now. They also filed a complaint with police. I think they did the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Didn't they?
Plus, you know, you hear her, LA Fitness gets taken down,
right.
too. So
right.
They will have no part of that.
There's other reasons to take LA Fitness down, by the way. State law prohibits recording and photographing somebody in a private setting in which they have a reasonable expectation of privacy, such a crime, as a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months, or issues if you're a Playboy magazine, 6 months in jail. Mathers apologized on Snapchat, saying that she meant to send the photo as a private message, but not to her public followers. Why does that keep happening? Is it that I don't know
on
anything
Snapchat,
about
Snapchat? You can share with a particular person, or you can post it to something called My Story, where all your followers can see it.
Oh, so she just hit a wrong button.
Yeah, that time she can. I only follow my kids so I can keep track of what they're doing.
Oh,
so I only have like 5 followers.
Oh, well, that's not a lot.
It's just fun for me to take videos of my dog.
Oh,
eating a Tostito.
I'm. And your
That's
dog's going to sue you at some point. I'm sorry for what I did, Danny Mathers wrote in July. I think this is a very nice apology. I need some time to myself now to reflect on why I did this horrible thing. Good night. That's polite. She didn't have to throw in the good night part.
That's weird.
I know. Is that... I'm not on Snapchat. Is that the way you end an apology on Snapchat?
I guess you can. Good night, fans.
Good night.
And you got the lifetime ban. I'm sorry if you said this. I was looking at something else. Did you say that she has also been suspended from her regular gig on KLOS radio station?
No, I didn't know that.
She was part of the Heidi and Frank show.
Oh, was she with Heidi and Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
I don't know what she did with Heidi and Frank, but she has been suspended from her regular gig on that show, according to TMZ.
She is paying the price.
Really, man, it's hard to get booted out of radio.
Yeah, I know. I know. think about the people
yes.
who have done some horrendous
I
things.
Know.
And they're welcomed back with open arms. All right. People want to comment on this, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you right after these messages. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We were talking about, what's her name?
Dani Mathers.
I don't even think we should mention her name.
Dani. Oh, all right. Oh, just an unnamed woman.
The mean girl. She took a picture of someone in her locker room, and it was a naked woman who turns out to be 70 years old.
Yep.
And the headline or whatever she put is, "You can't unsee this," or something.
"If I can't unsee this, you can't either." And then it looks like Dani, or the unnamed woman whose name is Dani, is... is covering her mouth in shock or about to giggle. You can't tell. It's very vague.
Rich, this is not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not a good thing. And to give you an idea of how the privacy laws are, you mentioned now they changed the laws about even videotaping without sound.
Yeah.
Is a while back, I worked part-time for a private investigator, and all I did for him was delivering summons. And there was a guy that kept ditching us. I know because every time I went over, I could see him. You know, in his kitchen, in his living room, I'd ring the doorbell, he'd look at me and like, "Oh, well, keep walking away." And the thing is, all I could do is sign an affidavit that said, I rang the doorbell, he was at home, he saw me, and ignored me. If I would have taken a picture of him to prove that he was at home,
yeah.
because he was inside his house, I would have gone to jail, and technically the guy I worked for maybe even lost his license. Even if I was on the street with a telephoto lens, because he was inside his house, and like you said, he expects some privacy. And this was a guy fully clothed just sitting in front of the TV. So you can imagine what they probably do to you to taking a picture of somebody in the shower.
Sure.
So, yeah, because that's what bugs me. Like now all these people with drones with cameras, oh, I could take pictures of anything I want. It's like, no, you can't. So if you think you're going to hover your drone outside of somebody's windows and take photos, you're breaking the law.
And you will get caught. That's why I'm going to scare him, Rich.
That sounded good.
Thank you.
Rich, thank you.
Thank you.
That's one of the concerns about drones is that there's the fear that people will use them for just that.
Is that a world of pervs?
It is a world of pervs.
Why? I mean, seriously.
I know.
Go on the internet. You can find everything there. And it's cheaper than a drone.
Right.
All right, Rose, what do you say about all this?
This is Ruth.
Oh, hi, Ruth.
Yes. Yes, did you say the case was fully adjudicated, and what was her sentence?
Well,
she was banned from the health club, LA Fitness.
Yeah.
She was suspended from her radio show, Heidi and Frank show
but
at KLO.
No, I know those were consequences, right. But what was the...
The legality of it?
Yeah, the legality. Did she receive a sentence?
No, they're still trying to determine that because the woman who is in the photograph... can't really be identified. So I guess what they're saying here is if this
but
woman
it's posted on the internet, right?
It is posted on the internet, whatever. But you can't really tell who the woman is. So they would need the woman. They'd have to prove that the woman who's complaining, if there is a woman complaining, she would have to file charges and come forward. And that has not happened yet.
But I thought that the 70-year-old woman did.
No, yeah, not yet.
I thought that's what you said at the beginning, but no, she hasn't. Because how do they determine she's 70 years old?
Well, she shows them her birth certificate.
No. I mean, but if she didn't come forward, how do we know it's a 70-year-old woman?
Confirms. Okay, so there's...
Well,
go on.
It just seems like there should be... that the 70-year-old woman whose naked photo is out there forever...
Yeah.
Should be able to... first of all, she should definitely... there needs to be a lawsuit against that 29-year-old model.
Absolutely.
Who's gonna, you know, get another job and... I don't think you should be able to post. I'm 66 years old and I take showers at my rec center. I don't want naked pictures of me on the internet forever.
Yeah,
Kevin, change your plans. Kevin had some plan in place, but we thwarted him.
That's definitely something that needs to be, that woman needs to she needs to pay for that.
I totally agree, Ruth. She definitely does.
We appreciate you calling.
Right,
Thank
TMZ
you very
is
much.
Saying that a woman who's in her 70s is willing to testify, but they're trying to determine whether or not this is the actual woman or not.
I hope it isn't. I She's hope this girl alleged, goes into the pokey.
In the pokey. She's... You're the first person
nice.
Since Max Sennett to say pokey.
I know. It's just not nice. You got to stop bothering other people.
Right.
Especially at a health club.
Right.
What's next?
You need some privacy.
You go take pictures of somebody getting a mammogram or a pelvic exam.
I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope it doesn't. All right, we need to take a break. You know who's coming by, Wendy? Bug Hall.
So I hear. Everybody's excited about Bug Hall.
Bug Hall is coming
by.
He's an actor. He's got a new project coming out. People will know him and love him, as we do, as Alfalfa when they remade Little Rascals a couple years ago. So we'll meet Bug Hall. He played Alfalfa. And now he's got another project. He can't just play Alfalfa. He can't just be Alfalfa and everything. I know. I tried. Stick around. A lot more coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah,
great
Steve.
Job. Someone should sponsor that.
Didn't Steve do a great job with the news again?
Put your money where your mouth is, people.
So true. Good news, Wendy. I know what a huge panda fan you are.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite stuffed animal.
Was it the panda?
I got a stuffed panda from Brookfield Zoo when I was a little girl and named him Nunzio.
Because why? Why would you name him Nunzio? Any special reason? It's a great name for a panda. I'm just curious, what made you think of that name?
Honestly, it was my brother. I think my sister had a good friend, and her dad's name was Nunzio,
so
and I kind of like that name.
Oh, all right.
And that's the panda that I threw up on my Disney World trip.
I wondered if the story would have a sad ending, and it did.
Can we change gears?
Yeah, we can change gears, but later on I must tell you why pandas are in the news, and I think you're going to enjoy the reason.
Well, you can very quickly just say, because it is a huge thing.
They're no longer on the endangered species list.
They were endangered for so long.
For years and years and
years. There was Sing Sing and Ling Ling at the Washington Zoo, and they had to mate them, and they were having trouble.
But now it turns out there's pandas aplenty. You know, I eat over at Panda Express, and I've said to management over there, why aren't there more pandas eating here? The food's delicious. Bring in a panda and get 10% off on your bill. I'm trying to work a deal with them.
Work harder on that.
I'm going to.
Bug Hall has just walked in the studio.
Bug,
hey there,
how
sir.
Are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
You're here to celebrate the good panda news that we just shared with everybody.
I am. You know, they can't seem to breed on their own, so, you know, let them go. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
Okay, wait
true.
A minute. Did you just throw out the first pitch at the Sox game?
I did.
No way. Did
Look
you
at
really?
He's wearing all Sox regalia.
That's fantastic.
It was so much fun. It was like a dream come true.
We'll talk. There's a reason you're here, obviously, but we're both in awe of this. How did this come to be?
I'm a baseball fan, and Discovery knew that, so they wanted to treat me to a nice day. You know, they set it up.
Did you get it over the plate?
I did. Straight over the plate.
Awesome.
But here's the problem. They said aim at the guy's head so that you don't, you know, shoot it too low.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Something that happens often.
Right.
They didn't tell me that the catcher was 6'8", so it was a little high. It was a little high.
Better high than not making it over the plate.
That's what I say.
You know, the White Sox, all teams now are at 40-man rosters. They could sign you to a short-term deal. That wouldn't
I asked
be the worst
if they
thing.
Needed a pitcher for the game. They said they had it covered. Yeah.
I don't know that they do, by the way.
No.
It's not been their best season.
Did you practice a lot before you – when did you find out? Did you have time to practice?
I really hadn't thrown a ball since I was, like, 10 years old.
Oh, no.
So I had, like, 30 minutes of, like, throwing the ball. But I got it.
Oh,
awesome.
That's excellent. Good for you. Good for you.
Big fan of motorcycles when you were a little kid, too, or in your teenage years.
Yep. I rode for pretty much my whole life until a few years ago. I decided to be a grown-up and learn how to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved motorcycles my whole life.
So how ironic is it that you're now on a show called Harley and the Davidsons?
Well,
that fit out nicely, didn't
not,
it?
Not that ironic, because I begged.
Oh,
when
you did.
When I heard there was motorcycles involved, I was like, guys, come on. Like, I've been working as a writer for a little while and kind of in what I call my mini retirement, and my agent sent this project to taunt me back to work.
Yeah,
and it worked.
It worked. Good.
All right, so it's the new Discovery series, Harley and the Davidson. I believe Davidsons. Did it debut last night? It definitely debuted over the weekend. Yes,
yep.
Last night.
Yeah, the first episode was last night, and they dealt with really the foundation of the company and the motordromes and all the early racing when there was no regulations.
Yeah.
So tonight really deals with how they evolve out of that, how the company stays relevant when motorcycle racing is on the decline.
And in what form is this shown, Bug? Is this a documentary? Is this a drama? How are we seeing the story?
It's a scripted drama.
It
you
is.
Know, so it's something you'd see on on any of the networks that are doing really edgy, cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's what was most appealing about it to me, was seeing this story so historically accurate, and yet done with so much heart and so much soul.
Nice.
When you're into motorcycles, I don't have one, but I always wanted one, and I have been a passenger on one enough to already have a couple of burn scars on the back of my
muffler
ankle.
Scars?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Good girl.
And I had an old boyfriend who bought a Honda motorcycle, because you can't afford a Harley-Davidson when you're young.
My first bike was a Honda, and they're great bikes.
But he hollowed out the exhaust pipe so it would make that noise that a Harley makes. Not the same thing as a Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
I had was it a Shadow?
Yes, it was a Honda Shadow.
That was my first bike. That's what got me into bikes. and I actually had a scar for a long time from the muffler on that one. So we're like twinsies.
I know. Left leg?
Mine was the right.
Bug, what's wrong with these people riding without a helmet? You see the aftermath of people who crash. You always wear a helmet, don't you?
Harley riders don't really wear a helmet typically, do they?
In California, it's the law.
Yeah, right.
And I grew up riding out there a lot, so I did. When I was in Texas, sometimes
you'd forget the helmet.
You know, if it was like you're running out of the house and you're like going to the grocery store, I don't know.
I wear a helmet when I walk, not even when I ride a motorcycle.
That's a whole different story.
I just doctor makes me wear one, too.
I don't feel quite as bad.
See, that's another reason that it's tough to get a motorcycle, because I would not want to wear a helmet.
You know, it's when I lived in L.A., and don't tell anybody, but when I lived in L.A., I lived way up in the mountains, and as soon as I hit a certain point where it was like wide open and there was going to be nobody for miles, I'd take the helmet off and I'd put it around my elbow and just cruise. Safety, I understand safety, right? But
and it's usually the other drivers, not the actual rider.
Almost all my accidents, I've been in 16 accidents, and they were...
What?
Really? Yeah, 24 broken bones. Yeah. They were almost always someone else's fault. But you got to realize, though, statistically, since I rode every day of my life, and I've got almost 1 million miles logged, I just had a much higher statistic.
But then after these accidents, were you a little bit apprehensive of getting back on after one of the worst of the accidents?
My first one, yeah. I broke 17 bones in my first one.
Oh, no.
And I don't remember that there was ever a moment where I was, like, thinking about it. But when I got on the bike for the first time after, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 months or whatever it was, I was shaking a bit, and I realized, you know, look, four wheels move the body, two moves the soul, right? I love bikes.
Yeah.
And I knew that that was the moment when the decision would be made, right? Where I either kept riding was the guy that just never did it again because of the one accident. So I went and had a few more and got comfortable with wrecking.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm telling you, there is nothing more beautiful on two wheels than a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. It's just the chrome, the colors. Absolutely beautiful. It's the highly anticipated miniseries Harley and the Davidsons, premiered last night. There are
three 2-hour episodes.
2 hours.
So it's 6 hours altogether. So we have tonight and then tomorrow night. And, you know, it's so cool because it's multiple slices of Americana, right? You've got 36 years being covered. So we you know, next episode we've got World War One is a big issue.
Yeah.
By the third episode, we're dealing with the Great Depression.
Yeah.
It's funny because a lot of shows have to find the bad guys, right? You really got to cram the bad guys in there. History, time is the greatest adversary, right?
Yeah.
And so you watch this company just fighting one adversary after another, and a lot of times it's just circumstances.
Yep.
What was the year it originated, Harley Davidson?
Well, 1903, but they were at it a little earlier than that. 1901, they had a prototype that they had hodgepodge together.
Was it ever their goal to be the coolest of the motorcycles? Was that ever on purpose?
Sure.
It was.
Look, as men, we're always trying to be the coolest at whatever it is that we do, right?
Yeah.
But they also, you know, what was great about their company having all the, you know, the three minds of the founders is that they all had a stronger perspective in one little area or another. So Bill Harley, who was a genius, by the way, you know, his was the engineering mind. So he's the guy that came up with the butterfly valve and the V-twin. And for him, it was always about pushing the limits of what man can create.
Yeah.
Arthur was the salesman. So for
and
him,
that's you? That's yep, what you play?
Arthur Davidson. He was the salesman. He was the one that... For him, it was all about the longevity of the company and can this thing actually sustain our families. And Walter was definitely the guy that was like, yeah, but everyone's doing this, like, you know, really coolly.
Right.
And we should be cool, too. And I think it was that balance that made Harley-Davidson so different, so unique, and really the legend that it is today.
All right, you have to watch it. Discovery Channel is where you find it. Go to discovery.com to find out. I'm sure they will re-air it. I have it DVR'd, so watch it. Bug Hall, we'll continue talking to him. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
I got bugs. I got bugs in my room. Bugs in my bed.
Little Pearl Jam tribute to bugs. I know it's bugs as opposed to bug, but the closest we could get.
Bug, it's a kind of curious name. I'm sure you've thought about this. I don't know that I've ever met anybody with a name even close to yours. Where did it come from?
So the exact story is a bit of a mystery to me, but I can say this. It is a nickname. When I went into kindergarten, I didn't know it was a nickname.
Oh.
And I was introduced as my legal name, and I went into like full freakout mode because I was like, what? You can't just change my name without telling me. And I, you know, as a kid, like, you're trying to figure things out as fast as possible. So I was like, wait, did everybody have a different name before school? Is this, like, standard? Am I just supposed to be okay with this? And that was the moment that I think I emotionally was like, it's going to be Bug forever.
Yeah.
And it has been.
Real name?
What's that?
Real name?
Real name is Brandon. For a little while longer. I just got engaged recently.
Oh, and, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm legally changing it to Bug.
So
good for you.
When you're up on, I don't know if you're going to do it in a church or a synagogue or wherever, but will they say Bug or will they say Brandon during the vows?
They'll say Bug.
They will say Bug.
That's why I'm getting illegally changed.
Excellent. That's good news. A couple months ago, and you may have already seen this, there's a thing on the internet that I see almost every day, and it's 21 child actors and how great they've turned out. And what they show is they show kids from long, long, long ago, and then the aftermath is they're handsome or they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Your face is the one that they use as the thing to reel
as
you in.
As the clickbait photo?
Yeah, the
clickbait photo. That's great.
Yeah.
There's another clickbait that is 21 child actors who you didn't know are dead.
Oh.
And
oh.
I'm the clickbait on that one, too.
Oh, that's so sad.
We have got to talk to you about that because Bill brings this up all the time, and I said, how can they do that? Whose picture did they show the other
John
day?
John Goodman the other day.
Yeah.
It said, you didn't know this guy died, but he did. And it's a picture of John Goodman, and he's not dead
no.
at all.
Can't you sue the internet? Who do you sue?
Yeah, the internet's hard to sue. I've
great
tried
liars.
And failed. I tried to fight the internet once, just ended up with a black eye and nothing from it. So
that's no fair.
Yeah.
I'm sure that to you, the Little Rascals movie is a million miles away, and you've done plenty of things since then. But for many of us, myself included, that was a magical movie to go back and do The Little Rascals.
It's always actually right close to my heart. I love that movie so much. It was on TV a little while back, and I sat down and watched it again. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is, you know? Isn't it?
Yeah, and for so many people, especially guys around my age, it's really nostalgic.
Yeah.
And nostalgia is such a powerful thing. To be part of people's nostalgia is just something special.
When you made it, did you go back and watch any of the old Little Rascals or Our Gang? Did you played Alfalfa, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you watch Carl Schweitzer's work and get to know what he was doing?
I actually grew up watching them.
You did.
My mom had a daycare, and we had stacks of VHS tapes, and it was all like Shirley Temple, the original Little Rascals, and I think we had The Sound of Music. Like, that was like it. So that's pretty much all I grew up watching, which I think probably gave me the edge. And
yeah, maybe.
That's why I got it.
Which is weird, because when we were growing up, that's pretty much all that was out there. You had Disney stuff. You could have gone another way, but no.
My mom was just all
the
about
classics.
Yeah, all about the classics.
I love Daryl Hannah, and she was in the movie. You did a scene with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was she as nice in real life as I hope she was?
She really was. Okay. Yeah, she really
selfish
was.
Selfish question.
Yeah, very selfish question.
No, she was a sweetheart. She loved being there, I think, with the kids. You know, she was always kneeling down and talking to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
they
sweet.
Really, you know, they did a great job, and you know this because you're in it and you've seen it 1,000 times. They did a good job of capturing the flavor of long ago. They could have updated it and made it a whole new thing, but they didn't. They really paid a nice homage to the old films.
Yeah, so that was two-handed, I think. Penelope Spheeres, who directed it, you know, she's a comedy genius. She did Wayne's World, and she's just brilliant. She had this way of like empowering the kids to just kind of be themselves. And Spielberg, I think, set the foundation with that because the original Little Rascals, they kind of yanked off the street. They were just kids, right? They weren't actors.
Right.
And that was the one stipulation as a producer that Spielberg laid down was he didn't want anyone with acting experience. And so they went around all over the country, and they found kids from all over the place who had no experience. And so it was really kids just being charming kids.
That's so cute.
You know, they never get credit for this, but they should. It's the first time that I can think of that it was kids of various cultures all kind of playing together as equals. Like, mm-hmm. if you look at other things of that era, you didn't really get that kind of flavor. But with Little Rascals, they pulled that off beautifully.
You know, yeah. So that there's that. When I was younger, I heard a lot of push about, oh, the old Rascals is racist, and that's why you can't watch it anymore. And I've watched them since, and it's sad to see that sort of being pushed, because they were just kids playing with each other.
Right.
There was never, no one ever pointed out anyone's race in it.
Right.
They were just kids being whoever they were and playing together.
Yeah. They didn't even make fun of Froggy's voice. We all did watching it.
We did watching it. Right. Yeah.
All right. So when's the wedding coming up? Is it soon?
February 11th, 158 days.
Oh, my God. You are so cute.
Ask Kevin, our producer, how many days till his wedding? Because it's in a few weeks.
How long, Kevin?
He doesn't know.
It's like 15 days.
Yeah. What do you mean, like?
No way.
It's the 23rd. So, yeah, it's right there.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. That's awesome.
But you know, to the hour, Kevin's like, it's like 3 weeks or a few months. I don't know. It's coming up. It's
It can't happen quick enough. I'm counting them down.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, very
and
nice.
And Kevin was saying, you know, he just can't wait at this point for the wedding to happen, because all the planning that goes into it.
Yeah.
I know the bride usually does most of it, but we grab you guys along by the hand and make you go. So he's just ready to just have the wedding. Are you ready right now?
I'm so ready. I learned the trick with the planning too, because I'm indifferent to pretty much all of the details.
Yeah.
But when she says, what do you think? And she holds two things up. It's because she's not really sure, but she's leaning towards one.
Yes.
So the goal is to figure out which one she's leaning for. Watch her eyes. Watch which one she's like pushing forward a little bit. And that's the one you pick. And if you pick the wrong one, because one of them's wrong. Anytime they say which one do you like, it's one of them's wrong.
Yeah.
Then you go, you know what? Actually, oh, I'm so bad at this. No, it's definitely the other one. If she goes, this one? Then you go, no, no.
The other one.
No, I meant the other one. It's that simple.
Some great wedding advice.
What's that?
Is she also in show business?
No, she's not.
She's not. Is that better for you?
You know, I had that rule when I was younger, but yeah. It didn't really play into anything. If she had been in the show business, I would have chased her. I would have chased her anywhere. Yeah. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's going to be great. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. And on your Instagram, talk about a good marriage is what? You said a beautiful thing about a good marriage.
I don't remember specifically what I posted, but
how about is just a fulfilled friendship?
It's a fulfilled friendship. Yeah. You know, look, with your friends, the goal is kind of always to like just be there for them. You
yeah,
know
right.
I mean? It's rarely with friends. It's rarely ever this like emotional thing so much as it's just like an act of the will, right? It's like
yeah.
These are my friends, and whatever we go through, we're going through. And then people don't do that with marriages sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, the emotions are gone. I don't know. Hang it up. You know, so it's a weird thing to suddenly think it should be something completely different when you're just friends. It's just fulfilled into a different state.
I like to say it's a slumber party that doesn't have to end because
right.
The parent doesn't have to come the next morning to pick them up.
That's right. Pillow fights for days.
Bog, so cool to meet you. The show, again, is on tonight and tomorrow night. It's Harley and the Davidsons. But if you haven't seen the first part, don't worry. There's plenty of ways to see it on demand, right?
That's right. Yeah?
All right.
Discovery
and it's on
Channel.
The Discovery Channel, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Discovery.com for more information. Good luck with the wedding and everything else.
Thank you. Thanks for
having
me. Great
to meet you.
Thanks.
A quick break and then some news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Is it already the first Tuesday of the month?
As a matter of fact, Wendy, it is. Mike McNamara comes by the first Tuesday of every month, and he tells us about what's going on with the Midwestern Independent Film Festival. Today is one of those days, and he's brought some friends along, some producer types.
I brought producer types, the people that make the films actually happen.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty good. We're showing that we're co-hosting the premiere of this wonderful comedy. It's called Who Gets the Dog? Stars Alicia Silverstone, who we all know and love. And also Ryan Kwanten, who's best known from True Blood. He's one of the big stars of True Blood. So this was all made in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it premieres tonight. And then a week from tonight, it comes out on VOD all over the country. So I brought the producers, Reed Brody, Scott Silver, to come and tell you all about it.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Question number one, and this is obvious. Alicia Silverstone.
Is it Alicia?
Alicia, isn't it?
Alicia, yeah.
Yeah.
Do not call her Alicia.
No, it has to be Alicia.
Alicia.
She won't
He's speaking
her.
From experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Action, yeah. Alicia. Yeah. Action. Yes. Action. Yes. No.
Why so long between films and projects for her? Because we all knew her and loved her, and then she just didn't work as often as we wanted her to. Why? What's going on there?
You know, I don't really know. She has done quite a few films since the era, but
yeah.
I don't... personally, I think this film is going to
bring her back.
Yeah,
it's good.
She
really, really
looks
nice movie.
Amazing.
She does. I just
She's
watched the preview.
Funny. And I totally get it when a couple breaks up, you know, you have custody battles with children, but sometimes we have furry children as well.
Yes. And it was sort of based a couple in my office. The idea sort of came from a couple in my office split up and were sharing custody of their dog. And that was sort of the genesis of the, seriously. I mean, it's a very common thing these days. So yeah, that's
absolutely.
Just, so that's what you're getting with who gets the dog. It's a couple who are splitting up. Were they married or just a couple? Were they dating or married?
No, they are married.
They are married,
and they have some problems. And they
who
decide,
doesn't?
Right, yeah.
Suck it up and stay together for the dog's sake.
I agree. It's much better for the dog. But yeah, so they split up and have to share custody of their dog, unbeknownst to them. They thought it was going to be easy.
And then does hilarity ensue? It's better when it does.
Yes. Yeah, hilarity ensues.
Sure.
And, it was actually...
I just want to clarify. The dog doesn't really know or care if the husband and wife are there or not. Can we...
A dog gets something from each person.
Okay.
My husband...
It's called food. It's called food and take me for a walk.
Tiki gets walks from my husband. I don't walk him as much, so he would probably side with
Jim. And if you switched it up, the dog wouldn't care. He'd still be a happy dog. Still be the happy
dog. But the dog would sense, my guess is, and I'm not a pet lover either. I say either because I get the feeling you might not be.
I didn't say I'm a pet lover. I'm just saying this is,
but the dog knows that there's ill feelings, right?
They can
sense that, right?
But I think the dog, the people who want to see this movie like dogs more than you do.
For sure.
People are much, you don't seem like you like dogs that much.
I'm more of a cat person, and also just more
of a... It figures. You seem like a cat person.
That's a very subtle slam.
And I've had issues with women where their primary significant other is this dog. They treat it like a child. And you tend to lose out. You will always lose out to the dog. You always lose out to the dog.
Who trained this unbelievably awesome dog in this movie?
The dog... was from the West Coast. It's a very beautiful,
an acting dog.
Very beautiful yellow lab, and the dog was amazing. We had several backup dogs. We never needed to go to the backup dog. This dog is amazing.
Talk about that process, because we never really think about that. Casting actors is one thing, but when you're casting animal actors, even though that dog or cat or whatever animal you're using might have a look, there's certain things the dog or cat has to be able to do to make it work. How do you cast a dog for a lead in a movie?
Well, in this case, one of the producers, Bill Ryan, who worked for John Hughes for a long time, did 101 Dalmatians.
Oh.
So he had very good connections.
He had an in.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
he had a hookup.
Yeah, luckily, for Scott and I and Bill, we had this great in. And the dog is amazing. We're going to bring the dog to the premiere tonight, but we had to fly him in first class. We're like,
You never know how... You never know.
We're like,
you don't know how a dog's going to react. He could be like Shia LaBeouf. Let's be honest. You never know how they're going to react.
And Wendy, can we really talk about the backup dog and the feelings of the backup dog and how the backup dog's feeling right now that this premiere's happening?
The backup dog should have worked a little harder so it wasn't the backup dog. That's all I have to tell you.
Well, the primary dog didn't want the backup dog to have anything to do with it. So the primary dog was amazing.
Oh.
Actually, the more funny thing is the animal rights people on set and how you treat the dog.
Wait a minute. So I get that you have to treat an animal well, and chances are you will. I don't know. Reed Brody, Scott Silver, both in the studio. Who's going to take this one? What? How are you going to mistreat an animal when it's part of your production?
Well, if they don't have Evian water or proper
face
mats, it's a little difficult.
That makes sense.
Honestly?
It was a prerequisite.
Well, the best story is we were shooting at a church in Old Town. Is that, what is that church? The big, beautiful one.
I call it the big, beautiful one. I think that is. Yeah, St. John's.
St. John's.
Beautiful church. And one of the PAs was filling up water from the sink inside the church.
Yeah.
And the animal rights woman was like, you can't serve that dog that water. You have to give her bottled water. And he's like, but miss, this is holy water.
Oh. You can't say no to that.
I don't give
She said no. She said no.
Oh, she turned down the holy water.
Oh, no.
Well, yet this movie was still made.
Yet it was still made. I want to, everyone that's just tuning in, again, it's called Who Gets the Dog?
Yeah.
Tonight, we're at a special venue tonight. Usually, we're at Landmark Century Center Cinema. Tonight, we're at Music Box, big, beautiful Music Box. We're pretty much sold out, but there's a few tickets left. And also, as I try to do every month, if you go to the Midwest Independent Film Festival Facebook, the first three people to message us at our Facebook. We'll have tickets for you and a guest. Just mention Bill and Wendy. Please like the Facebook page when you do. And also, if you can't get there tonight, go on iTunes right now. Find Who Gets the Dog. You can pre-order it. You'll get it on your computer on a week from today, on the 13th, but you can pre-order it now. And this is a Chicago-made comedy. So going, you know, I always say the best way to support Chicago-made movies is to buy them. So this is a chance. Go on iTunes now, pre-order it, Who Gets the Dog, and that's how, you know, doing that is what allows Reed and Scott to keep making movies here in Chicago.
And good. You guys are both from here?
Yes.
Both from suburbs, Chicago.
I'm in all of it.
Yeah, I'm an 847. Yeah, I'm an 847.
I'm a 708er.
Yeah.
Was there any
312?
There's a 312. I'm a 773. You're 708. We got all the area codes.
Was there ever a moment where you thought it'd be easier or cheaper or something to shoot it somewhere else? Why did Chicago become the backdrop?
Well, the thing is, Chicago being our hometown, you can get a lot more done in your hometown.
Yeah.
When you sort of
you know more people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our models were making more mainstream entertainment independently versus true indie fare, like the stuff. I don't disrespect. Like,
go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no. Like,
no, that's all right.
We're trying to make more mainstream fare. Yeah, so being in your hometown, it really, really helps. And we have tons of friends here. And it really helps getting stuff done. And put
yeah,
together.
You got to get the dog from L.A.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Everything else yes. other than Alicia and a couple actors right. and the dog
right.
are
right.
straight up Chicago, yeah, including yeah. the producers, Scott yeah. and Reed.
Did I see Samuel Goldwyn's name on the titles of this?
Yes, yeah, Samuel Goldwyn bought the film. And
that's great.
North American. It's going to be released worldwide September 13th.
Excellent.
But go yeah. see it tonight first. Yeah. Music Box Theater, 6 p.m. again. How do they get...
Yep. Just you can go to MidwestFilm.com to check on tickets. And then just for the first three to message us over at Facebook, we'll have that for you. And either way, whether you're there tonight or you can't see tonight, whatever, go on iTunes today. Click pre-order on Who Gets the Dog. It will help this film. The more pre-orders it gets on iTunes, then the larger its reach will be as it goes into its release. Believe me, you're helping the film if you go and pre-order it today on iTunes.
I can't wait to see it, honestly. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Cute.
Thank
you.
It's Who Gets the Dog, and then the sequel for you, Mike. That darn cat will be out in a year. Can't wait. Reed Brody and Scott Silver, great meeting both of you. And Mike, nice
thank
to
you
see
guys.
You.
Thanks for having us.
Back after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It was an extended weekend, and last night, still the same conversation, even though it was a Monday night. Did you do your homework? Kids, did you do your homework? ABC News correspondent and WGN employee as well, Ryan Burrow on the line. What's with this? Kids are not going to have homework in Massachusetts?
Yeah, it's the school in Massachusetts. Now, I want to preface this by saying, look, the school just added 2 additional hours. Before, they were going to class from about 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They've extended that from 4 a.m. to, or make that 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
All so right, good.
They've made the day longer, and this is a predominantly Hispanic district where a lot of the focus is on, you know, teaching the kids English and kind of getting them up to speed in those regards. So, but, you know, this is kind of a trend that we're starting to see. Do you guys remember the story? It was last month about the Texas teacher, the second grade teacher, who sent a letter out to parents saying that she had done her research and determined that homework just isn't worth all the time, energy, and stress levels that the kids have. And she'd rather have them get their homework done in class and then, you know, send them home to have real conversations with their parents and apply that to their real life. So it is a trend where we are starting to see this kind of develop where, you know, teachers are starting to boycott the use of homework.
I love it. I think these kids get way too much homework. You know, a little is something. You have math homework. Do 4 or 5 problems to figure out if you know how to do it. But if you get it, you get it. You don't have to do 20 problems a night.
Well, and what the argument has been, too, is a lot of research has shown that, yeah, kids might go and they might hit the books for 2 hours at home every night. But number one, it wears them out. And number two, you know, they're not able to retain that information. At least that's what some studies have suggested, that essentially, you know, you're kind of purging all the information at that point just to get the assignment in. You're not actually sitting back and comprehending. I just had my first parent-teacher meeting of the year, and the teacher said, look, I give your kids ample time to get their homework done in class. If your kids are bringing home a lot of homework, That means they're too busy sharpening their pencils and looking around the room and talking with their friends. But I give them enough time to get their homework done in class. So, you know, if they've got a lot of homework at home, come talk to me, because then we might have an issue in the classroom.
Ryan, Wendy and I discussed this a little bit last week, or 2 weeks ago maybe, about how every teacher kind of feels that their class, the one that they teach, is the most important for your child. So even though one teacher is saying, if your child has a lot of homework, come and see me, if you multiply that by, you know, the average school day is 6 or 7 classes, if each teacher gives them a half an hour's worth of homework, you're at 3.5 hours of homework. That's a long time.
It is. And the question is, what is it that they're accomplishing during that time at home that they can't be accomplishing at school? That's the question that a lot of administrative officials are asking themselves. Now, there are a lot of people that do believe that incorporating that homework into the daily routine is something that is furthering their education from beyond the classroom.
Right.
You may have a teacher show a lesson and say, okay, now independently, you guys go and work on it, and then, you know, come back to me and we'll kind of see how you did. That's one approach to doing it. But more and more teachers are coming up with under the impression that let's have them do that here physically, and let's save the stress at home for, you know, other things that are going on in their lives.
Absolutely love it. I hope this starts holding true everywhere else. Ryan, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right, so here's the flip side of this. A kid, I mean, put yourself in the kid's place. You love it because it's more free time. I know Ryan said it's, you can spend time talking to your parents, and maybe that's part of it, but it just equals free time. So if you're a kid, you love this. However, I know parents that say, I want my kid to have homework because I got to get him or her in the mindset of what's coming, you know, a high school and a college career. So I don't want him just laying back and playing video games. I want them studying. I need my kid to have homework. That's a tough call.
I agree with some homework, but a smaller amount. Sometimes, and you're right, some of these teachers, my class is the most important. Write a paper tonight, write a paper tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's too much stuff. Also, some kids procrastinate. I know I was one of them who, you have a week to work on a project. When did you work on it?
Last
the night before.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there can be small amounts of homework that help establish what was taught in class. But you have told me yourself, oh, Reese was up till like 3 a.m. last night doing homework. It's like, that's not fair. That's not right. That shouldn't happen.
I'm amazed. I mean, it's been a little bit different for her this year, but she had years, both in grade school and high school, more recent than Kylie, where they were putting in 5 hours, 6 hours of homework a night. And I even said to them, I said, that's, believe me, I've been all through this. I never saw anything like this before.
And different kids learn differently,
yeah.
You know. My kids are not really great at completing projects and stuff. Tests, they do very well.
Yeah.
Each kid learns differently. And, I mean, honestly, if my kids are up past midnight, or probably I'll give them till 1 a.m. at the absolute outside,
yeah,
to get, you know, I have to, it's due tomorrow. But seriously, I would be like, go to bed, just tell them you need another day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's high school.
Yeah.
Some of this is going on in junior high school,
right,
too.
And then you throw in any other activities the kid might have if they're in band or if they play sports or something. So that's a couple more hours. There's not enough hours in the day to get all that done. There just isn't. All right. We need to take a break. We can discuss this and many other topics with you after the news. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's the second half of the Tuesday show. If you want to jump in, you know how to do it, 312-981-7200.
Well, that's right. It's Tuesday already. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yep. An accelerated
Is tomorrow
work
Friday,
week.
Then?
Yes, tomorrow will be Friday, and then it's Christmas the next day. You know what they did over at MarketWatch.com, Wendy, is they said, we, and by we I mean us, we are mispronouncing words at a record pace. That your average American who uses words is not really up on how to pronounce various words. So they put together a bunch of words that they said that you're probably more than likely saying these incorrectly. Can I run them by you? Now, I'm trying to think of what the best way to do this is. Should I spell the word and hear you, like a pronunciation B?
Or pronunciation.
Pronunciation B and see if you can say them correctly? What is the best way to do this?
Yeah, you can spell it, but I'll have to write it down.
All right. How about this word? AFFIDAVIT. AFFIDAVIT. Now, I can only think of one way to say this word. I don't know how anyone would
affidavit.
Say this wrong. Yeah. Who's saying that wrong?
They say, affidavit.
They say it with a D, affidavit.
Oh, maybe they
That's
do.
That's how I thought I would say it. I normally say affidavit.
Maybe you have to give the definition, Bill.
Oh, like, well. Say, but,
yeah, because I can't
but
spell
they don't
that
give the see so it would be my idea of what the definition is.
All right, well, say the right. word how you would say it.
I would say affidavit with a T at the end, but I have heard people say it with a D, affidavit, who is Larry David's brother.
Half-brother.
Do you know who is half-brother. By the way, this is so unrelated, but I have to get it out of my brain.
What?
You know who is dating Larry David's daughter?
No.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Isn't that weird?
Well, then that's who Reese saw at the airport.
Yes.
Yeah, in New York last week, 2 weeks ago.
If you're lost, listen to the podcast, full show, WGNradio.com.
All right.
Affidavit.
There is a nut out there, and the nut is spelled A-L-M-O-N-D.
And how almond.
Say it again?
Almond.
You are incorrect.
It's not almond.
That's how they say
no,
it.
No, that's wrong. You don't say, you say.
Here's their pronunciation, A-H-M-U-H, and then a pause.
Almond.
Almond.
No, I'm not saying it that way.
That's how you're supposed to.
It's an almond joy. It's not an almond.
The other day.
My palm itches. That means I'm going to get money, not my palm.
The other day, I saw an interview with Mel Brooks, and he was telling a story. I'm not allowed to say Gene Wilder's name. My wife told me I'm not allowed to say Gene Wilder's name. So Mel Brooks was telling a story about somebody who looks exactly like Gene Wilder, because it's Gene Wilder. And he was telling a story, and the word almond was in the story, but he twice said almond. And I both times went, whoa, are you sure? But he's right. It is technically
But he's from
almond.
New York, right?
Yeah, but regardless
no,
of your city of origin.
It's almond.
I don't know.
I'm sticking with almond.
I think we're all saying it wrong.
Steve, what do you say? You got to jump in on this.
I say almond.
Yeah, you say the L. Say the L or go to hell. That's what I always
say.
That's
your bumper sticker.
Yep.
Is that your car in the parking lot that says that? All right. The word is spelled C-A-C-H-E.
This is a harsh.
This is a hard one, Steve, because I've heard people split right down the line on this one.
It's cash.
It is cash, K-A-S-H. But I've heard many people say cachet.
That has a T on the end of it, and that would be a French word. A cache is computer-related, like,
like
what's
in
your
history.
Cookies.
What's in your cookies?
But it's a cache of weapons, so it's a it's a stockpile.
Yeah, it's
what if
not
they're
cachet.
Almond cookies? Cache is the correct way
but
to say that.
But cachet is a word.
It is, but it's not this. It's not
a different. It's spelled differently.
Yeah.
Cache would have an accent.
Accent.
Accent. Agu.
Don't say that.
There would be an accent at the end of it, or it would end in a T. It's
right.
It's just cash.
Right. Right.
Isn't she smart?
I know. I am acting like a Miss Know-It-All, but can I tell you something? You guys talk about things every day that I know nothing about, so finally I feel.
Finally there's something.
Yes.
We're aware of that.
Now, this is another one. Bless I don't know you. How anyone would say this incorrectly. This is a delicious snack treat, and it's spelled C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
Caramel.
Yeah, how would anyone say that wrong?
Caramel.
No, you said caramel. It's not caramel.
It is caramel.
I'm going to say caramel.
Well, no, you're wrong.
This is the one where you're wrong.
Caramel.
Caramel.
No, I'm not saying it that way.
It's not. It's a three-syllable word. It's not a two-syllable word.
Caramel. That's how you have to say it.
Or caramel.
Caramel.
I'm not saying caramel.
Carmel is a town in Indiana.
Caramel.
And in California.
Caramel.
Now, this one, I believe you can say either way.
All right.
This is, if you want to save money on something, you would clip this out of a paper. What is it?
It's coupon.
Now, I forever said coupon.
Ooh, it makes my teeth itch.
But I had a teacher who said, you know, you're saying that incorrectly.
It's either or.
I think with that one, you can say either one.
What does it say here?
This one suggests, well, this one says both, K-O-O-P-O-N, coupon, or K-Y-O-O-P-O-N, coupon. I think that one they're saying either is correct.
It's like when people pronounce, I'm going to go to the store to pick up some food, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y.
Grocery.
Right. There are a lot of people that say grocery, and that's not it.
No, it's grocery. Those people can't shop there. You're not allowed in. You can't go into the grocery store. This is a French food that is spelled C-R-O-I-S-S-A-N-T.
Croissant.
And, see, now, I think you have to have some background in the French language to pull that off. If I, like, if you said I'm having a croissant, we'd all go, oh, that's nice.
Croissant.
But if I said it, people would go, what happened to Bill? He's all of a sudden he's speaking in tongues.
Right. If you say, yeah, I'm out at the stackyard, so now I want a croissant.
Right. You can't just throw that into conversation.
No.
Which is correct.
They say you're supposed to pronounce it K-R-W-A-H.
Croissant.
Dash S-A-H-N. Croissant.
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 Croissant. That's Francois. Like
Charlie Brown's teacher.
Wah, 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 wah. Croissant.
I took French, so I say croissant.
Yeah.
And it drives everyone nuts.
Yeah, it's very
croissant
affected.
Sandwich. That's what it is.
That's what rich people eat. What about this one? If something is the ultimate, it is also the E-P-I-T-O-M-E, which is pronounced?
Epitome.
Epitome. God, who says epitome?
God love
Does
my son.
Does somebody say epitome?
I will not say which one. He's older. But he reads very frequently, and he reads big words, and so he doesn't say them out loud.
Yeah.
And he He's said that wrong once.
He said
and
epitome?
I said, Michael, it is epitome. But it looks like epitome. I said, yes, it does. He also said subsequent.
Oh.
Bill,
said, no,
I,
it's subsequent.
No.
I challenge you to do number 12 because I don't get that one.
All right. I'm almost there.
Okay,
can we
sure.
wait a minute? I'm almost there.
Boy, have some patience.
No, 12 is a good. There's a couple really good ones. 9 is another one. I don't know who's saying this wrong, but if you go to Starbucks, you would order an ESP. R-E-S-S-O.
Everybody says that wrong. It is espresso. There is no X in it, and I can't stand when people say espresso.
Espresso means formerly coffee. It used to be coffee,
right.
And then it stopped being coffee.
It's espresso.
Guy who used to be a reporter.
Right. Espresso.
That's a common mistake.
All right. This is Latin, and it means and so on, and it's E-T is the first word, and C-E-T,
et
E-R-A,
et cetera.
So who's saying that wrong?
Same thing with an X.
Do people say et cetera?
Et cetera.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, that would be incorrect. All right. Here's the one that Steve wanted. This is by request. It's all request vocal radio. All right, it is spelled, this means full of anger and fury, and it's spelled F-I-E-R-Y.
Fiery.
Wouldn't you say it that way?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the way that they say
Fieri?
It should be.
Guy
Fieri.
Guy Fieri?
I can't Fieri. Understand their pronunciations.
Listen to how weird their pronunciation is, Steve, because I don't get this either.
Pronunciation.
They say F-A-H-Y-U-H, and then a pause, R-E-E. Ferrari?
Wait, F-A-H is fa.
Fa.
Doe a deer, a female deer.
Fayari.
Fayari.
No one says that.
Fayari.
That's not
spell
correct.
Spell it again. F-A-H.
F-A-H-Y-U-H. All one. Like, you're supposed to say that all at one time. Faya. And then R-E-E.
Right. Fayari.
Fayari. No, it's like four syllables, though. Fayari.
But I'm saying fiery. They're saying fiery.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say fiery as opposed to fiery.
But their pronunciation key is all screwed up then.
I hate
that's
them.
That's not
Who
the
did
best
this?
Way. Mean people.
Who did the poll?
The Almond Brothers.
They didn't.
Yes, they did.
Was it printed without the source?
No, it's from MarketWatch.com.
Oh, okay.
It's MarketWatch.com. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we have a couple more of these.
You
these are
fiery.
The words.
You are
Thank you.
It's actually, I think, Dictionary.com, so it's even more
Oh, did they do it
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
I read it printed in MarketWatch, but it could be Dictionary.com. Okay, a quick break, and then more of these words that most of us are saying incorrectly, and I'm sure we'll stop after today. I'm sure it's the last time. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. MarketWatch.com says, hey, you guys in America, you're saying a bunch of words wrong. Let's shape it up a little bit, shall we? We already told you some of them. People are calling in at 312-981-7200. Debbie in particular.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you can get to her next. Get
Sorry.
To her next.
You got to press the button.
let's start with you, Kevin. But Debbie, stay there. We want to get to all of you. Kevin, what is the word that people are not pronouncing correctly?
Hey, Bill and Wendy. It actually goes to the genus of the whole issue that you're talking about. So Bill had said you can say either one or the other. But you can also say either.
Yeah, I think some are interchangeable, aren't they?
If you live on the East Coast. I mean, come on.
Oh, people say either here.
It sounds funny, though, because you're like, hey, what's going on in my garage? Either you get it or you don't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
How about, I know we're talking more food, but roof? roof or roof.
Right.
For Chicago.
Right.
And, if you want to sound European, tomato or tomato.
I've heard people just throw out the word tomato in the middle of a sentence. You go, what? Hey, what? Do you mean a tomato? Really? A tomato?
Root beer or root beer?
That's right. One that I myself interchange.
I do too, just for a variety.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
Roosevelt Road or Roosevelt Road? I keep track in my head. I go, I said Roosevelt Road last time, so I'm going to say Roosevelt Road this time.
Your voice didn't crack this time.
Not this time.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey. Oh, my God. I love you guys.
Thank you, Debbie.
You. Love you back.
You're nice.
20s. I spent my 20s in Chicago, and I now live in Fishers, Indiana.
Oh, wow.
A suburb next to Carmel, Indiana.
Oh. Oh.
Which we just talked about. So yeah. Carmel.
Yeah.
But the word I have problem with is, hey, everybody, get out your Crayola crayons. Crayons.
Well, the word is crayons, but a lot of kids say crayons, like C-R-A-N-S, crayons instead of crayons.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a problem with it because people have always pointed out to the point where I don't even know if I'm saying it right anymore.
Crayons.
It is crayons.
So it? Right, two syllables.
Crayons.
But so many people have shortened it, but they're wrong.
Crayon, like moron.
Yeah, you moron crayon. That's a
that
color.
Helps.
All right, Debbie.
That helps me a lot.
Glad we can help you.
Thank you, Debbie.
We're your Audible or audio dictionary.com.
Yep.
I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. How would you say this word, Wendy? H-A-U-T-E. How would you say that? H-A-U-T-E. It's a form of cuisine.
Haute.
Now, they say you're supposed to pronounce it over at marketwatch.com. It's supposed to be pronounced O-H-T, like ought. But I've never heard anyone say it that way. I hear haught with a little bit of an H sound.
I think they're right.
It's O-H-T, ought? That seems like it's out of order almost.
Yeah, that's probably right if you're technically going with, because H isn't pronounced in Francais.
Right.
But
so oat? That's correct? Yeah,
yeah, O-H-T? I guess that's right.
I'm not saying it that way. I never say haught anyway. Say oat.
O-H
like honey
is...
bunches of haughts at the cereal.
No. O-H is O, O-H-T, right?
Yeah.
So oat.
That seems too much for me. I can't do it. there's a color that is spelled M-A-U-V-E. How would you pronounce
mauve.
That? Mauve.
Who says it wrong? Mauve?
I guess people are saying it that way. Mauve sounds like your neighbor, doesn't it? Like we're going to go visit Mauve and Geraldine down the street.
No, that's Maude.
Is that what it is?
All right, Scott wants to jump in with one.
All right.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Go ahead. What's your pet peeve?
People say karaoke instead of karaoke. There's no E in the middle of it. It's K-A-R-O-A-K-E. It's karaoke.
Karaoke, but everyone says karaoke. Why? What happened?
It became Americanized.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. You're right. It is.
Everyone says it wrong.
I don't know, but it always irks me when I hear people say karaoke. There's no E in it, except at the end.
I'm with you. All right. Let's all stop saying it as a people,
it's
as a nation. Karaoke. how would you say? Now this is either a tree or you might have this as a nickname for your body part. It's spelled P-E-O-N-Y.
Peony.
Yeah.
How else could you say that?
I've heard it on more than one occasion pronounced peony, and I go,
"Excuse me, that's
as wrong
that?
As wrong can be."
Name names. We're calling them right now.
Derelicts that I know.
He is totally wrong.
It's not peony. It's peony.
It's peony.
Right.
And they attract ants.
Yes, they do. P-E-E-U-H-N-E-E. That's the correct pronunciation, peony. Don't say it any other way. Now, this is a delicious treat, and it is pronounced it's spelled S-H-E-R-B-E-T. And how would you say that?
Sherbet.
All right. That's the correct way, but everyone here says sherbet.
I've never said sherbet in my life.
But you've heard it a lot, right?
Because it's spelled like that.
No, it's not spelled like that. There's no. It doesn't end E-R-T.
It doesn't?
No, it's spelled S-H-E-R-B-E-T. So say sherbet.
I've always called it sherbet because we grew up near a Cock Robin and you get the jumbo cones or the three different colors of sherbet.
Yeah.
But that's one of those words, and has this ever happened to you when you say a word too many times, it doesn't sound like a word anymore?
Yeah.
It just happened with sherbet.
Oh, just now? You would think, like, if you were going to say it incorrectly, you'd say sherbet, because it's B-E-T at the end. Or sherbet. But everyone in Chicago, not everybody, but a lot of people say sherbet, which is always incorrect. It's sherbet. That's the only way to get away with it.
Makes my teeth itch.
Does it? I'll stop saying it.
It's just one of those words now.
It makes your teeth itch.
Yeah. Oof.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Sherbet. Yep. Yeah.
No, when you say it wrong, it
can
does.
I do one more?
Yes.
Now, this one I almost want to do backwards. This is a health food that is pronounced quinoa. I'm doing this one backwards for a reason. If you said to me, I'll give you $10,000 if you can spell quinoa correctly, I would lose $10,000. I couldn't spell it if it saved, to save my life.
Q-U-I-N-O-A?
Yeah. So should that be pronounced quinoa? If somebody gave me, I didn't do it the other way because I'd lose money.
Quinoa.
That's the way it should. Say that again.
Quinoa.
Yeah.
So Q-U-I is quinoa.
Like film noir, yes. But with healthy,
it's a type
healthy
of
food.
Comedy.
Right.
Right.
I just avoid saying it. It's better to just flat out avoid saying it. Would you like some food that I'm not going to say? That's what I say at my house. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.